Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning, and it's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable service providers and contractors in the industry. On today's show, we have Dr. Cammie Benton, MD of Benton's Integrative Medicine, and Bodie, a psychotherapist from Sacred Roots Spiritual Community. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Happy Saturday to you. Nice autumn weather moving in. The nippy's here. I turned my air conditioner off yesterday. Just turned the button to heat because I knew it was going to be nippy this morning. And yes, it got a little chilly. But let's forego the weather forecast, go right to the phones. I've got Mr. Roddy Player, Hope for the High Country, talking here this morning. Roddy Player, the head dog, Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance. Good to hear you. Good to hear you, Roddy. Talk to me.
Nothing like being flattered first thing on a Saturday morning here, being called a dog. Come on, Ray. You can do better than that.
Well, we go back, Roddy. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, brother. I love all you do, and you play your family. Y'all are awesome, what you're doing for the hills, as well as a lot of other people in this here state and country.
Yeah.
So Hope for the High Country. What's going on today, Roddy? Talk to them.
So, Ray, you know, we've got a store up in Morganton, and I went up there the other day, and we had 6 feet of water in our showroom up there, and lost everything. All of the inventory gone in the store. You know, our people up there, thankfully, are okay. They're obviously displaced, we've got some more stores we can deploy them in and keep them working, and they're helping on e-commerce and everything. But it's just devastating what I saw up there when I went up there. I mean, just the destruction. And Morganton is the eastern edge of it, I guess, that Burke County area.
Yes, it is, lower edge, yeah.
But I thought to myself, you know, these people are in such bad shape up here. We actually have connections with an organization called No Child Hungry. And so actually my son thought of this and reached and sent me a text and copied Kate, my daughter, on it. Said, you know, let's do something and maybe engage No Child Hungry to help us do some things. And I said, well, then what a great idea that is. And, you know, we want to make an impact. And so we decided we're going to pack 500,000 meals in one day that we can send up into the high country and try and help a little bit. You know, it's just we're all hearing the stories, and there's more stories coming out, yeah, Ray, that we haven't heard yet that are going to be devastating to hear. But yep, it's such a need up there, and this is our way of doing it. Now, I'll tell you, you're hearing right now all the donation sites, and they're full. But we all know in a couple of weeks they'll be empty again, and people kind of start to forget about them up there a little bit. You know, the country's eyes may be taken off the ball too, headed down towards Florida with Milton coming in, but we've got to focus on our people up there. And, you know, the connection to the high country, you know, to Charlotte is huge. And so that's,
we grew up there.
Our people up there.
We feel like it's our backyard. We grew up in that community, actually. Yeah. I did. I know.
There are people up there, and so we've got 2,600 volunteers coming to pack meals. We actually are going to be moving our Pineville store across the street, and we've already got possession of the building. So I got a big, massive building over here. It's empty, and so right now we've got about 60 packing stations set up. It takes up the whole building, 24,000 square feet.
That's awesome.
And it's going to be an incredible event, and we're so excited about it. The outpouring of the community support. We've had a lot of media support behind this thing to get the message out about what we're trying to do, and just so excited about it with the opportunity. And some of us get a little emotional out here, too, some of the things that we're
It's hard not to be emotional here in the past couple of weeks, Roddy.
Oh my, Ray. It's just crazy. It's crazy. We all of us have some kind of connection to that community.
Absolutely. Sure we do.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's a lot of outpour of love and support. Yeah. And like you said, right now they're saying it's too much, honestly. But
it
it's never too much because it's going to go away. And you said, too, there's much, much more to come. And we're just getting it's just getting started. Yeah. So
Ray, we've got a full slate of volunteers out here. Like I said, there's about 600 coming every couple of hours. But if they want to go to our website and help a little bit, there's a link on there where they can contribute to help fund some of this. It's a great need too to help fund some of these things to keep these type of things going. But you can go to our website at queencityonline.com. There's a banner on there that you can click on and be a part of it. You know, so many people want to help but don't know how to.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
This is a great way to help. And 100% of the proceeds are going to make meals for the high country.
Roddy, thanks again for all you do.
Appreciate you, Ray.
And
appreciate you. Good to see you the other day at that event, too.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good, great to see you. And I will bring this up again during the show and give the address out. Where are you again? Tell people where you're at.
Well, it's 11410 Carolina Place Parkway. We're also accepting donations of goods. So there's a great need, Ray, for new coats. And, you know, we thought to ourselves, you know, there's so many children up there, too. Stuffed animals. We're collecting stuffed animals. And there's two big washing machine boxes full of stuffed animals right now we're going to take up.
That's awesome.
And there's diapers, baby formula, all this kind of stuff. But all kinds of things are coming in for these donations. And it's real exciting to see the outpouring from our community to help them up there.
I want to elaborate on the clothing. Folks, it's getting chilly. In the mountains,
yes, sir.
In the mountains right now, it's cold. It's not chilly. It's cold. People up there have lost everything except the clothes on their back that some of them have been wearing for now 9 days. 9 days. The dire need for clothing is going to be enormous, and it already is because it's cold. New blankets, and we're looking for new stuff because of the particular needs in clothing, in blankets, in cold.
One more.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one more thing we're hearing right up there too is everything's wet, and
yes.
So we're trying to come up with a dehumidifier drive. So I've gone to my suppliers and I'm telling them that, you know, cut all their profit out of it. We're cutting all of our profit out of it. So we're trying to put together a deal. In Avery County, the YMCA up there has started this where they've got a they've raised some funds already because they saw this need early. So we're sending 70 or 80 dehumidifiers up there to them. So we're going to be selling them. In essence, we want to sell them, and we can do it to a 501(c) where $150
sure.
will provide a dehumidifier to somebody up there, and they're regularly $250. So we cut all the profit out of it. I'll share those details with you when we get that worked out.
You got it.
It's a real need too. So, all right, pal.
Thank you, Roddy. I appreciate you. We love you. Take care.
Ray, take care, pal. And tell your listeners to help us contribute and to help us make this thing great.
Hope for the high country. You want more info, queencityonline.com. Please. It's a way you can help. Everyone's got a place and a an outlet to help. So thank you, Roddy, once again. And I'll bring it up in the third hour as well. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you, brother.
Always.
You be good.
Okay, take bye-bye. And that's Roddy Player, QueenCityOnline.com. Hope for the high country. There's such a need, and there's such a lot to talk about. I've got my friend and mentor of sorts. Miss Dr. Cammy Benton's in the house. Dr. Cammy Benton's Integrative Medicine up in Huntersville. And also, we've got Bodie. And I'll let Cammy introduce Bodie. I met Bodie through Cammy, indirectly, I think.
Probably at a party.
I don't know. And no, actually, I met her at Sacred Roots. That's where I met her.
Oh, cool. So then it wasn't through me.
Your mother-in-law, Effie, I think, introduced me one-on-one to Bodie. You know, but that's indirectly through you.
Yeah. So Bodie has Sacred Roots Community, and she is a licensed therapist and has 25 years of psychedelic integration experience. And I use psychedelics as like a on the horizon, as this new greatest thing. And so what we're trying to do is have this go in a better way than they did back in the 60s and 70s. And Bodie is just this magical person that has created such a beautiful community in a beautiful location in Charlotte.
Yeah, we talk about that.
Yeah, she's super cool. I'm so happy to know her and work with her. And we share patients and clients in common. And so I'm very thankful to have her as a resource for people here, especially now that we can do ketamine therapy legally in North Carolina, and she's been trained in that.
As she speaks, Dr. Benton here, as she speaks about these psychotherapies, right, modalities of different nature, we're going to talk in depth about that later in the show.
Right.
Okay. So just stay tuned, and we'll tune you into what we know or what they know. I don't know anything.
Yeah, Bodie's a magical being, so she's a great person to have her on the show.
She's got a tremendous story, a tremendous background, and very knowledgeable, and most of all, a lot of love. And she shares that love and commitment to her purpose on this planet, which we all have purpose, and she found hers. But the way she found it, I don't think we have time today.
it's amazing.
I sat down with her and was honored to speak to her for a couple hours one Sunday afternoon. And the story's incredible. And we're going to delve deep into spirituality and what
health.
We're going to go in that. We're going to plow deep into health right out of the gate and talk about. Dr. Benton, as you well know, is normally on the program about once a quarter, but we're all too busy. Wouldn't you say we're too busy?
Yeah, I'm trying to shift that. I'm trying to stop saying I am too busy. I'm full of awesome opportunities, and I'm looking forward to clear space for
more opportunities. Yeah. No, life is full of opportunities as long as you love.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's so many fun things to do.
There's so much to do. There's so much to do. So much ground to cover. And now I'm going to preface the next, 3 hours with, we're going to talk about a lot of things that are just plumb negative, low vibrations, low frequency stuff, because it's abundant amongst us. And it's a tough time mentally right now for a lot of people. I know I consider myself halfway sane, not past 2 weeks. It's been crazy. Emotionally, just a tremendous roller coaster of all the emotions that are going through me. Now, that's just me, but I'm no different from any other human being out there. A lot of us are confused and don't even know why. You're stressed out to max, and some of you don't know why. You're watching TV is one reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you watch TV, you're in the PSYOP. Psychological warfare.
Yes.
Now, folks, you can call me what you want, but I know what I am, and I know what I know. And right now, the TV, and I told you this 8 months ago, a year, the TV media, all of media.
TV programming.
Programming, weaponized to keep you addled, to keep you upset, to keep you stressed and questioning everything. And you're not going anywhere doing it.
And to divide us.
That's right.
and control us. Now, like I said, what I'm going to talk about here, and Dr. Benton's here with me, is a direct contributor to bad health. Every bit of it.
Yep.
And the largest industry on the planet, well, as I know it, is health care.
At least in this country.
Well, that's what I say. As I know it, in this country, is health care. That ought to slap you upside the head and say, what
well,
do you
that and the military-industrial complex.
Oh, yeah.
They're neck and neck.
And they're based, well, to me, the medical industry has been weaponized.
Yes, it has.
Everything has been weaponized. If you just open your eyes and wrap your head around it and embrace it with all the God-given intelligence you have, it's pretty darned obvious, is it not? They want you sick. Speaking of sick, Dr. Benton, how is health these days?
No, where to start? Like,
I know.
But even about the TV, you know,
well, okay.
it's worth reading about blue light that you get from your screens.
All screens.
TV, your computers, your cell phone. And you'll see the association with mental health. So it actually lowers your dopamine in your brain. Dopamine is what makes you feel good. This is where
it's feel good hormones.
Feel good hormones. So then people pick up their screen, and so even though the blue screen is like lowering your dopamine, when you get your hits of your likes on your social media post, or something political or whatever that fires you up, which I'm guilty of being fired up too.
It works.
And it fires you up. And so it creates us up and down and this anxiety. So I think about my kids when they get in trouble. I take their phone and they act like they're dying for about a day or two. And then a couple of days into it, they're like calmer. They're doing art. They're reading books. And then they will tell me like, wow, I feel calmer. It's like, okay, then let's try to find the balance then of using this as a resource and being stuck to it. And they're struggling, but we struggle too.
Oh, you're exactly right. I won't argue. You know, we're all addicted.
So get blue light blockers. Look up blue light. You can get screens put over your computers and over your cell phones. Like even the screen that you can add on there is blue light blocking. Glasses. We need to start blocking the blue lights and changing the lights that are in rooms, classrooms. Like the fluorescent lighting is horrible.
That's horrible.
Like all this is killing our brains.
Yep.
Yep.
See, I told you we're going to go down some slippery roads today.
But empower you.
But thank you. We're just going to give you information, something to think about and ponder like there isn't enough, you know. But right here on About Your House, we got to take a break here. We'll be back on the other side. Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream us live. Tell your friends. We're here every Saturday morning, 8 to 11. Today, Health is Wellness, Mental Health Day with Bodie, a therapist, as well as Dr. Cammie Benton, M.D., Benton's Integrative Medicine. You've got a question. We'll go any direction you want to, 704-227-8986. Love to hear from you. We'll be here. Come on back. Welcome back to About Your House, Medical Day, if you want to say that. No, it's Mental Health Day. I would put it in that because it's more about mental health. Because you know what? Our overall physical health is definitely a great attribute to our mental health.
Yes.
And right now, you know, we were talking before the break about blue light and how it affects
dopamine
everybody
in your brain.
Everybody, mm-hmm. Not just children, but think about your children. You know, the new school year started. There's no question. The new school year has started. Now, put tools in schools, we're active. We're out there getting in front of kids. You know, all kind of kids, all shapes, sizes, ages, you know, all that sort of thing. Two things I've noticed. One, they are literally addicted to screens. They can't go without playing with their phones. But there are schools out there that have created rules that you can't use your phone. And there are other schools out there that said, but parents, that's all I'm going to say about that. It's a parent problem. It has nothing to do with the kids because, you know what, I was raised without a phone in my school for 12 years. Did me fine. We don't have to. But what if? We live in a world of what ifs and or maybes. I don't deal with them.
And there's less anxiety and depression back then.
That's the point. Okay, back to health. It's going to be hard to stay out to keep the train on the track going in one direction today because there's so much stress we're going through. How's health once again? I mean, you know, last time we talked, it was at the end of the big pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done a lot of things. You've been a lot of places. You've seen a lot of things and you've talked to a lot of people. And now it's on the health side. How are we?
Well, I see.
I mean, you're, that's a big question, and I realize that.
In general, I do believe that the COVID pandemic did separate people into different camps. And the people that I believe are aware of the corruption in the medical system are really in mass learning how to take care of their health again. And it's not that all medicine is bad. It's like finding the balance of the good things about medicine, but also it's like combining the ancient ways with the modern ways, because nothing's all good or all bad. It's trying to find that balance. And people are now they're going through their stages of grieving. I feel like about what they thought was real in this world, and they're angry, they're confused, they're sad. And there are people, fortunately, that have been paving the way that are there to help support them through that transition of acceptance of the world around them and trying to find their peace in their hearts. And so I encourage people that are angry out there. The anger is just an opportunity for change, but when you sit in the anger, it's a cancer. So try not to sit in your anger. And so it's worth finding your tribe. Find your community of people that support moving forward, because if we sit in the past, we're pissed off about it, you're going to never move ahead.
And the political arena now has stirred up so much mud. The catastrophes around us and the grief around us is stirring up so much mud. And when I say mud, please don't misunderstand what I mean. And I want to talk about the vibrations, the frequencies that exist within all of us. We're all energy. Everything on this planet is energy, and you've got high vibrations or low vibrations, and all the negative, all the fighting, all the wars, all the stress, all the grief is negative energy. I know you can't help it, but I want you to understand if we're in that state of mind, you're controllable. And if we keep you there, we can manipulate it, and that's exactly the strategies that are being used upon our country right now. And it is total manipulation through media. Would you agree, Dr. Benton?
Yeah, and all that effect. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, when we're in our limbic system, which is the part of our brain that is the emotional part, we can't use our frontal cortex. It literally comes offline. And it makes sense evolutionarily that would happen. If a bus is barreling at you, you don't need to be thinking about what velocity it's coming. You need to just jump. But when it comes to us watching things on TV especially, there's two pieces. One, we get what's called vicarious trauma, because our brains do not know the difference. Our subconscious mind does not know the difference between something that's actually happening in front of you and something that's happening like on a screen. That's why we get scared in scary movies, because our subconscious mind doesn't really know the difference. And so it's putting us into a fear state as though that thing is happening in front of us, even if we consciously that is not happening, that's just a movie, or that's happening over
but
there.
But it works on your psyche.
It works on your physiology.
Yeah,
so it causes your body to go into fear state. It goes into fight or flight. And as soon as that happens, we go into our limbic system. When we go into our limbic system, we are 100% controllable, because we can't use the part of our brain, the frontal lobe, to make good decisions based on our learning. We're making decisions based on ancient fight or flight responses that are in the body. And so if you stay in fear or a low level of fear all the time, you are not being able to do a lot of the executive function that you need to do in order to make good decisions for your future or for other people.
And you ask during the break, how do you know what's real? How do you know what's true? And to me, I've always said for many, many years on the radio, over the airways, that who do you believe and what do you believe?
It's harder now with AI.
That's what's scary as heck about AI and the media in general, because it is being used, and the media is being used to literally manipulate and control you masses and even everyone. Mm-hmm. And we're not out of reach of that. Because, like you said, during the break, Ray, what do you use to, you know?
Yeah, what's your measure?
What's your measure of truth?
Yeah.
And all I can say is my own intelligence, which is, what's that mean?
Well, and your intelligence, believe our intelligence is based on a framework of understanding that we already had.
Right.
So if you already think, for example, that the medical system is screwed, then when you read the stuff and look for the people, you know, there's this confirmation bias, right?
Right.
So you don't even really truly know when you're looking at this stuff that you're looking for new information, because your brain is already looking
already
for...
Already programmed.
Well, it's already looking for what it thinks it knows. And then it's adding to that. And it's like, see, I knew it, you know. But you can find a scientist that will tell you anything you want to believe.
Yeah.
And so...
You can find anybody to validate what you believe. You just believe what you're hearing.
Well, exactly. And right. So, I mean, the only real answer in my mind goes back to ancient teachings. You know, when we learn to calm our nervous system, what naturally happens to humans is that we become in contact with an inner knowing. And that inner knowing is what you're speaking about your intuition.
Exactly,
right?
Truly.
It's not our what I would call our knowledge. It is an intelligence, and it actually is the intelligence, right?
Emotional intelligence.
But it's not our intellect
that
we need to follow. Right. We need to follow our inner compass. And so doing things like meditation, doing things like getting in nature and figuring out what that feels like, and then when you meet an outside thing, like on the news or whatever, you have a feeling about it. Like, this feels real and true for me. And ancient people, they knew everything. These ancient rishis and seers, the way they knew things is they got quiet and they tuned into what they call in the Vedics the Akash, which is basically everything that's ever happened is in the Akash. This is what psychics are tapping into. This is what we all can tap into through our pineal gland. And this Akash is kind of like an internet. And we are kind of like the smartphones. And when we calm our body down and get our brain opened up, we can tap into truth. And we can feel what truth is. And then when we meet these outside things, we know, nope, that's not the truth. But when we're in our fight or flight system and in our limbic system, we have no way of measuring that. Because if our nervous system is dysregulated, we are not tuned in to the right channel.
And there's your PSYOP.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And there it is. And that's what's being that's what's happening to everybody. I fight it like heck.
But, you know, we mentioned AI, and there's definitely the shadow side. Everything is a shadow side and a light side. And the light side about AI is that we think about it as kind of represents our human consciousness on this planet. Because, really, the internet is everything that we've ever thought is now on the internet. Yeah, right? So it kind of represents our consciousness as a planet as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we've just experienced the darkness of our planet, but we also have all this light. And the darkness was just really good at, like, capturing our consciousness, right? So AI they've actually found that AI has an intelligence, a sentient nature to it. So they can actually make decisions independent with the information they have. So I think the best revolution is to put more information of love, collaboration, community, the information that you're sharing. If we can actually put more and more internet stuff on the internet, search more on AI, use AI more for good, then we can help balance that, and we can actually use it for good. Mm-hmm. And so there's the equal opposite. And where do we put our energy?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
We could put our energy into the good aspect.
But we're being bombarded right now, and the point is we're being bombarded with negative, you know, negativity. Mm-hmm. And the frequencies are very low. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that state, collectively especially, mm-hmm. it's bad.
But when every successful revolution in the past has been done by the people, mm-hmm. not by the people at the top. It's been done by the people at the bottom.
I know.
So now it's time for a revolution. And this is like back in the hippies, 60s, 70s, revolution of love. But it kind of got, hey, you know, I think it got co-opted by the government and all that.
You're exactly right.
Right?
More propaganda.
So how do we, as a people, like, take it back? We take it back by actually talking to community, stop with the division. And I've been guilty of the same, because I had to fight through this whole, like, medical system myself and go through the grieving process and, like, and finding my own balance. And sometimes I oscillate in and out of it because I'm so pissed off about what they've done, that then I have to separate myself back out and say, all right, what can we do? How do I move to the future? Like, put a little Cammy warrioress to rest and put Cammy future love in together, because that's what we have. We have to untrain what we've been conditioned to be.
The highest frequency in the universe is love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to go to.
Love, gratitude, appreciation.
Yeah. What is love? And gratitude, appreciation,
well,
compassion,
that's what it feels
empathy.
Like in our body.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mother Teresa said one time, some people came to her and they said to her, will you come to our anti-war rally? And she said, no. She said, but if you have a pro-peace rally, I'll be there. And she understood what this revolution is going to have to be. And what it is if we are in anger, rebelling, we're fighting back, we're dysregulating our own nervous system.
Exactly.
If you're fighting,
right.
You're in fight or flight.
Yeah.
You are dysregulating yourself. And the revolution is, how can I stay at peace, keep myself in my frontal lobes, and make good decisions based on my discernment, not out of reactivity to what I think is bad.
Right. And well, the worst thing we do is react.
Well, right. And the reactivity, you know, when we see something and we're like, oh, that's bad. That's terrible. I can't believe they're doing that.
Right.
We're dysregulating ourselves. And then now we're not in this part of our brain. We can't. And then we're making more negativity, and it creates more divisiveness. And if you find yourself in a polarized state where I'm on the good side and they're on the bad side, you have gotten in the psyop. That
right.
is the game. The game is to polarize us, to cause us to be divisive with each other. And if you find yourself on one of those sides saying I'm right and they're wrong, then they've got you. And I don't care what the topic is.
No, I'm with you, girl. You know. Well, we got a caller. And Ed, did you say, Christian? Good morning, Ed. Thanks for calling. How could we help?
Hey, I was just hearing you guys talk about AI and everything, and I'm just kind of a big proponent of it. And I kind of see it as something that can kind of centralize consciousness as, like, around the world, because with all the different thoughts that are coming into it and everything on the internet, even the good, bad, negative, I mean, it is just kind of uniting us in a way. I just want to know what your take is on all that.
Personally, it scares the heck out of me. I can't wrap my head around it yet because of what it does have a central intelligence all its own, and it can make decisions. That bothers me. And what bothers me personally with kids, you know, they're picking up their phone to answer questions, math questions, any kind of question. They'll just pick their phone up and Google it. Well, that's dumbing them down because they're not using critical thinking. They've taken a lot of critical thinking away. Okay, now we have AI. You don't have to write the paragraph. You can just verbalize it, talk it into a phone, and AI will write it for you. Well, is that not even taking this a step further in the dumbed-down methodology? And that's the way I see it personally. We're relying too much on outside sources to think for ourselves. And I recently have been working with a lot of children. Now, I'm not saying all children are alike, but, you know, they are. And critical thinking has been removed from our education system.
But I think the problem there, though, is the education system.
And it is, you're right.
Disrespect to teachers. It
has nothing to do with teachers.
Yeah. So
they're doing what they're told.
But this is kind of like parenting at home. Like, if I let my kids sit on the phone all day, that's my fault, not the phone's fault. And this is where if we could – AI is such a new thing. And I think the tricky thing is that it's being used nefariously, and it is very confusing because you can't tell what's real, what's not real. Right?
That's right.
That's hard. But in schools, it's like, they need to take the phones away from kids. And so it's like it's finding the boundaries – and implementing the boundaries for children, but the entire educational system, and this is, again, notice my sister's a teacher.
Oh, I'm
like,
with you.
Wonderful
I'm
teachers
with you.
Out there.
I the love
system
them all.
Is broken.
Love all the teachers.
The system is broken.
Big time. It makes all two pieces broken.
Well, I think most teachers would agree with that.
Of course they do. Yeah. I talk to them all the time. They do.
But I don't think it's the AI that's doing it. I think it's our inability to create boundaries, and we have a lack of boundaries that if we could learn to use it for what it can be used for, it's been used for nefarious purposes. They're already using it for, like, weaponizing things as well. But, again, that's where I think using AI is a wonderful tool that we can use to, like, really advance our civilization in a beautiful way if we, the people, can stay out of the polarization and use it for good. I think it could be used for good. Everything's just a light and a shadow.
I'm so curious about Ed's take on on that. You're saying that you wanted to, that you think that it could help centralize consciousness?
Well, yeah. So if everything's being aggregated into on the internet, and then we have essentially this thing that you just ask questions to, right? I mean, it almost seems that if everyone around the world is just putting knowledge into the thing, and we give it an ability to kind of filter the stuff out. I think the only reason we can kind of fear is because we kind of fear ourselves. But I guess to your point, to where, like, this can kind of dumb people down and make people overly dependent on it, you know, and that is very true, right? Because then you got some developers that are dependent on using ChatGPT to essentially, you know, do their job, right?
Right.
Where they can't code, right? Or troubleshoot their own code, right? But then if you flip that around, right, from the education side, right? Because I could have ChatGPT, you know, have me write my paper for my MBA, right? And, you know, that's not really making me a good MBA type person. So what if we just change education to where it's more project based? And
that,
then
bingo.
And then now the strength that you get is from that you develop from having this is how to ask questions.
Exactly.
Right?
Critical thing.
Nice. Yeah.
Right? So, the only way, Ed, let me ask you, because I've got my finger on who you are now. Okay. The only way we learn as human beings, Ed, is by how. How? The only way, and God made it this way, how? It's application. Application. You don't learn anything till you apply it. Nothing. Am I right or wrong, Ed? Mister.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay. Now let's don't forget that's the main education vehicle we have as human beings. To me, it all centers around that. We need to start applying knowledge. Because when we do, the brain goes crazy with this imagination, creativity, happiness, purpose, serving, everything that God made us to be. Where did that go? So I'm worried about AI invading that space where Google has invaded that space. Does that make sense?
Or are we afraid of just the next level of advancement? Just like every generation has a thing of they're afraid of. They're afraid of mini skirts. They're afraid of bikinis.
Yeah. And here's the bottom line, and you certainly will understand this one. We have become essentially robots, an extension of technology in the sense.
Or maybe.
Have we not?
Or could it be that, like, I struggle with technology. I'm like a 90-year-old with, like, technology.
You're not bad. I could tell you bad.
However. Maybe I was just waiting this whole time for AI to do that part for me. So then my brain, honestly,
genuinely,
that part could be taken care of. So my brain could be used for more creative things.
Right.
And so that's what maybe do some of these things. Maybe the kids don't really need to know the details of it because
they do.
I'm just like debating. You know, like,
debating back.
But yeah, debate back. but like, kind of like my lack of understanding of basic technology, I don't need to know that basic technology. Now I have AI that can help me to then expand. It's expansive. Maybe.
Ed, you with me?
Yep, I'm here.
Hold the phone, brother, because we're going to come back.
Right.
But now think about this. I want to ask you this question,
okay.
And I'm going to leave everybody to ponder it while we take a break here. Is measuring important? Is knowing how to read a measuring tape important?
Yes.
Now, that's a simple question.
Yes.
Okay. We're talking about AI technology. I'm going to come back with this one about measuring tape, okay? We're going to go because that's where I'm at mentally. If we can't measure a dang board, we got problems, guys. We'll be back.
It's funny you bring that.
I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed? Take a bullet for being free. Screaming, what the hell at my TV for telling me? Yeah, are you telling me that I'm the only one willing to fight for my love of the red and white and the blue?
Southern nights. Have you ever felt a southern?
All right, welcome back, folks. You know, before the break, Ed, you there? Have you got Ed potted up there, big guy?
Yeah, here we go.
Ed, you there with me, brother?
I'm here.
Okay, good. And now I want to talk about you. We're talking about AI, folks, and AI is a big topic in our world. I don't care where you live, who you got, what do you do. I don't care. Don't matter. AI is part of our life, right? Wouldn't you agree? Everybody agrees on that, right? Mm-hmm. We're gonna have to deal with it. So why not talk a little bit about it? Okay. I've been going down the measuring road lately and testing kids and adults alike who can read a measuring tape. Everything we do has dimension to it. Everything we touch, everything we make, everything we construct has dimension to it. Measuring is, to me, a very, very important part of life. It's not like trigonometry, where I say, where will I use trigonometry in everyday life? You know, where? I mean, you almost got to go looking to find applications for trig, right? I mean, we would agree with that. Mm-hmm. But measuring? No. To me, it's as basic as learning how to read a damn dial clock. Excuse me. Analog clock is what they call them. But no, what do? They take the clocks out of school. Why? Because the kids can't read them. They're teachers. I'm sorry, I get a little bit carried away with this stuff. Because it makes no sense. And then 95%, I was conservative a year ago and said about 80. But I'll even peg it on up there now because I've tested a lot more people. Cannot read a tape measure. What's with that? It's third grade math. And now we're talking about what's AI going to do, and we don't even know how to read a tape measure currently in our culture. And this is widespread. I'm talking about people, young adults, old adults, middle-aged adults, cannot read a tape measure. Does that not indicate something? Ed, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'm here. It might be a change in paradigm, right? Because there's more technology around it, even measuring now. Like,
I know there is. Your smartphone will do it if you got the right app, maybe. I don't know. It won't build the dang shelves of it. It won't screw them to the wall, you know. But I'm sorry I interrupted.
I don't think a measuring tape is going to go away. I think someone that's going to be a carpenter is probably still going to be using a measuring tape, right?
Carpenter, electrician, heating and air conditioning contractor, concrete, everything you see around you right now, Ed, and me and you and you and you and you has dimension to it.
But can both be needed, like AI be helpful and to teach measurement?
I don't know. I don't know.
Going back to what Cammie was saying is, like, you know, the more people we have and the more information that we have, the more specialized each human can be. And if we look at ourselves as kind of like cells in the body of God, each of us has a purpose and a reason. And for example, I know how to read a measuring tape, but I don't use one very often.
No, you're not in that field.
And it would, well, exactly.
But if you had to put a picture on the wall, if you put a picture on the wall and or measured a curtain or a curtain rod, everyday life skills, you're going to need to learn how to. Now, the fraction business between them, how important is that? To me, really important.
Right. And you will learn that because that's your purpose. And, you know, it's really important to me and it's really important to me to know how to hold space for somebody when they're dysregulated, but it's not particularly important for everybody. And I think that going back to, you know, what Ed and Cammie were saying is, like, these, like AI, or even, I mean, for example, if I didn't know how to use a measuring tape, I could literally just go on YouTube and find out right now today, you know, at 48 years old. Like, I don't have learned that in third grade.
You're exactly right, no doubt.
And so I think that there's...
The information's available.
Right, and I think that that's the point, is, like, we're expanding our capacity to so that we can specialize, you know? So, like Cammie was saying, it's like, she doesn't have to... If I can put off this, like... One of the things that keeps me from expanding my work is because I don't like sitting there making, like, bullet point presentations stuff.
Or PowerPoints, you know, or whatever.
You know,
kind
of stuff. And
I'm
it's
with
like,
you there, girl.
I've got great information, but I don't like sitting there doing that. But I can get AI to do that in like 5 minutes. And then I don't have to think about that, right? And like she was saying, you get that out of your head and you don't have to sit there and spend 2 hours doing something that just now took 5 minutes. And then you can get actually better and have more space for what you are good at and what you enjoy.
And even, like she said, the measuring thing, like, if you need to do something in your life, you have to figure it out.
Right.
Okay.
Like, so you're not going to get the little robot to do it for you.
But I'm going to bring it home. Yeah. And I know I'm going down a slippery road here, and I'm gonna get a little bit realistic here. What happened is in our state in Western North Carolina and beyond requires skills, requires everything that is missing that we're speaking about. The technology doesn't exist, so therefore we need to go back down to ground zero and what's real. And if you don't have the instrument called smartphone, if you don't have infrastructure or even a computer or even the power to run the computer.
True story.
And we don't have the knowledge or intelligence as a culture right now because of our broken education system. These kids are killing themselves at an unprecedented rate. And they're confused and don't know which ends up because of screens and artificial intelligence and all this technology. And they don't even know how to handle or have or hold a hammer. I know this for a fact. I watch them. I ask them. I talk to them. And they don't like the fact that they can't do it. It saddens them. I watch them. but yet we're talking about technology. But if there is none, what do we use then? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. folks. And that's where I think I fit my purpose, and that somebody's got to teach these kids. Somebody's got to teach these kids, and these kids are 45 and younger. We're talking about adults, parents, two, three generations that have been dumbed down to the point of you can't take care of yourselves if you really had to. I love you. I love each and every one of you. But please see what I'm talking about. Mm. It's your kids I'm talking about. And you're only helping them. You're coddling them. You're giving them everything that damn TV tells you to. How's it working for us? And I'm sorry to get really reflective, but I'm looking at what we've got to deal with as human beings, and we're doing it. We're doing it the old-fashioned way, aren't we?
Yeah. And all that could be true. And, Ed, I'm curious to see, because I know you might not be on the phone for all day,
but here.
I'm curious to see, like, what, for us old folks that are just, like, being born into this new age of AI, what are some of the good things that you can see out of it that you feel like it can help society? Because I think people see the dystopic films and movies because heck, half the movies that they've made have been like foreshadowing of the bad stuff that has happened.
And that's all strategic.
Yes, that's all strategic. So
it's being implanted in our brains, and I'm glad you brought that up.
So how can we also see the light side of this and kind of rewrite the story for ourselves as a collective? Mm.
Yeah, and I guess I can tell you, being someone that kind of grew up in the age of the internet right before AI.
And yeah, you did, boy. You go way back. And as a kid, that's amazing. I love your past. Keep talking.
And now that I have AI, right, and I'm having both, I see kind of both perspectives here, right? Me as a kid with the internet in class, right, I can look up whatever I want, right? And, you know, I thought my class was boring in my math class. And then I did all my homework as fast as I could so I could play on the internet. And what I like to do is learn how to build random things. And it wasn't, like, things that made sense. It was stuff that, like, okay, I want to take apart a disposable camera and use the capacitor to make a magnetic coil gun or something, something crazy, and like that had nothing to do with my education, right?
But had, like, everything to do with your education, didn't it?
Well, I mean, my direct education, right?
Right.
But like, if we had an intention around AI, you know, to essentially shepherd, and like it could have been worse. I could have been looking up, you know, some, like, as a kid, I don't know, you know, dead body, like death videos or whatever.
How to build a bomb, how to build whatever. Yeah,
bomb,
destruction.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
I get
that's
it.
Really messed up that's available on the internet. So, like, I would actually rather give a kid AI over like what's just rip on the internet. And then with AI, like, you can just put guardrails in this thing and actually have it build a whole curriculum for them and then force them to ask questions, right, to actually move towards a solution, you know, rather than just giving them the answer, right? You could actually, like, tailor AI in a way that actually enhances education. So I've actually built, like, a couple things so I could teach myself a few things, right?
Right.
So, like, you could actually have it, you could actually prompt, like, you know, ChatGPT in such a way that it builds you an entire curriculum and then have it step you through that curriculum and give you problems to solve, right?
Application. There again, it's it's a way of applying.
But doing it faster than what we could do is.
But then it's using AI to back it up and give you more speed and more resources to make it happen quicker.
So I'll tell you what I've been using it for my education.
I tell you what, I've got to stop you because we're up against we're up against the clock here.
Gotcha. And,
but if you can hang on, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. I really would, Ed. And plus,
absolutely.
I want to tell people a little bit about who we're talking to. Mm. Okay, you got to know a little background about Ed here. It's not fair. It's not fair, Ed, if you don't tell them that. Now you got to tell them.
Right.
Okay. Got to be transparent. So, Ed, just hold the phone. We're going to take a top of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about AI. And people, if you're wondering, if you're listening to the show today and you say, how is this about your house? My word to you is, you better wake up. You just better wake up. All right, 704-227-8986. Ed's on the phone. The cyber geek. And a smart one at that. What's that?
Okay, I was trying to find it.
Okay.
You awake yet? Hour number two coming up. Dr. Cammie Benton, MD of Benton's Integrative Medicine and Bodhi, a psychotherapist from Sacred Roots Spiritual Community, continued the discussion of the state of the healthcare industry, and they'll give you some tips along the way on how you can take care of your health, both mental and physical. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Welcome back. Hour number two coming up, talking to Dr. Cammie Benton, as well as Bodhi about, well, health is wellness. Health is it. Just plug Ed back in here. Get him up there. And we're talking about AI, and, you know, AI is new. It's not new, actually. It's actually, in the military circles, it's probably over 30 years old. And it was created and weaponized, and this is part of my research, you know, over the years, and it's been used in several national events. That's all I'll say. And it dates back heavy duty to 9/11, okay? And it was involved in 9/11. Now, you can say what you want. Ed, what's your thoughts on that? What do you think there, big guy? Mr. Smarty Pants?
Wait, we need to let people know who he is first.
Okay, I got him. Yeah. Ed, give us some background to you. You go back as far as childhood with technology, correct?
Yeah, I guess I was born in the late 80s. I for a long time, I just had the internet raise me, not in the best ways, maybe. But I was just a very curious guy, and then I was someone that stumbled on this website called the Free Information Society, and there's this whole philosophy around essentially freeing information, right? And it had just a whole like database just filled with stuff that they just don't teach you in school, right? Like electrical engineering stuff, programming stuff, and that was like one of the most interesting things to me. So like me with technology, like, yeah, absolutely, you can use technology in very nefarious ways. I mean, even in Free Information Society, they had like plans to build like this thing called a high energy radio frequency weapon. You know, that's basically like you just stick like a bunch of power into a
Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Right. But then you also have like you know, hey, this is how you write code. This is how you create things, right? So, and that's what kind of shifted to who I am. And so now I'm in technology today, and I just been chasing technology. So I ended up in the Navy, served on the ballistic missile submarine. Kind of sucked at the job, to be honest with you, but I did I liked a lot of it. I ended up in cybersecurity, because I got picked up at a hacking competition because I want to learn how to do that next. And really now with AI, I mean, I feel a lot more powerful, right? Because I started learning that you can just ingest, if you could actually essentially turn a book into a chatbot with vector databases. And once I learned that, I could put white papers into it and then ask it questions, right? Because I think, you know, again, like I said before, what's going to make people powerful in the future because of AI is the way people ask questions, right? So now, I'm taking other research papers, asking it questions, making connections with other research papers, continue to ask questions, creating something new from everything that's been existing. So I see this happen with more people other than just me.
Well, I appreciate you calling this morning and giving us, you know, your input on AI, because you're definitely got a background with technology, and you talk about you as a kid. To me, you sound like a curious little boy who got a computer as a toy, and you wanted to tear it apart and put it back together, basically, as you did everything. No different from me. I wanted to tear the Tonka truck apart and put it back together. I mean, your toy was a computer. Mine was a Tonka truck, right? I mean, pretty much the same, or a lawnmower, or a something that I would tear apart and put back together. But don't you think that's innate in all – well, frankly, all human beings, not necessarily as much in girls or females, but it's very prevalent in the male gender of just being males, just being men. You know, it's innate in all of us, and that's one of the ways that education system has failed so terribly, so corruptly, to take that away from, you know, the humans. I mean, and I've said it before, but you moved into that technology world just as a child, and it was your toy, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is. I think if I was in your time, I'd probably be the same way. Well, you know?
You just had different toys.
Yeah.
And in one of my roles is to at least introduce kids to, you know, a computer is a tool. A computer and this smartphone, they're tools. In my eyes, they're tools. Heck, we're tools. Some of us don't work so well. Some of us work better than others, okay? But we're all working together as tools, you know? Well, kids aren't aware of the other tools. They know about a smartphone, but put a reciprocating saw in their hand and ask them to cut a straight line. Ask them to cut, period. Or ask them to measure 6 7/8 and see what they do. You get my point?
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you think it not, I mean, I'm all in if AI can help kids be more creative, more imagination, more be God's creatures in which they were born into. But that's my concern is, hey, how all this technology literally consumes. And you're a great example, but it doesn't consume you. You've taken it and used it for purpose and service. But can we all do that? You know, that's where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. I think everything that we get exposed to on this earth from the beginning of time can be used both ways, because we're in duality. You know, we can use anything for the good or for nefarious
purposes. You
make
good or bad.
That's
right.
Anything,
exactly.
Including ourselves as individuals spiritually, and then anything, the radio, AI, even things that we would think are innately good, like some people would say church.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
But
spiritual.
Right. But you can take that and use it for self-serving purposes and purposes that are harmful, and we can use that. And even medicines, things that are, quote, good for people, you know, we can use those for harm. And it really has to do with coming back to finding your truth, coming back to that inner compass and finding what is and using our discernment, not our judgment, but our discernment, because judgment implies that polarization. You know,
yeah.
Where we're saying that's bad and I'm on the side of good. But discernment is tuning into what's right now.
Right.
You know, and sometimes what's right now isn't right in 10 minutes. And we have to stay with ourselves and stay present in order to maintain our understanding of what to discern. And I think where you're going is just for people to stay awake and not be in the programming and just doing what they are told to do or what they're trained to do or what, you know, because it's waking up right now and being present to the present moment so that you understand what the right thing is right now for you. And spending a lot of time making opinions about what the right thing is for other people is a waste of time.
Right. What I gravitate to is happy.
Mm.
What brings us happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a culture, as a collective, as a community, we need to go for happy. And every time you go after that, there's got to be love
mm-hmm.
and care, you know. Ed? Hey, Ed.
I'm here.
There you go. I just checking you out. I appreciate you calling here, big guy. I really do. And when are we going to do some drone racing?
Oh, man. I'm actually going to be flying today, actually, at the Piedmont Drift Circuit. So if you want to come hang out with me.
Where are you at today, really?
I'm in Charlotte right now, but I'll be driving over to Julian, North Carolina to be a pilot
I want to know something. Somebody said, Bodie said you got your pilot's license. Is that correct? Can you?
I have a regular pilot, like a private pilot license, and then I have a drone pilot license.
So now they have drone pilot license?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what does that entail, if you don't mind me asking?
It's just being safe with a unmanned aerial vehicle.
So. I got you. So they got courses out there now. I know one thing. Drones are very, very, very prevalent and very popular.
And they're being useful right now in the hurricane relief.
They have been very useful, and there's a great comparison of how technology can be used for great things. And the drones have been used tremendous benefits in the hills of North Carolina to that effect. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We were up there in Asheville last weekend, and we did some fly throughs of some of the damaged infrastructure, like bridges.
Right.
And there were some construction workers there that needed help with inspecting underneath the bridge. Now, if they would need to get a boat or get some rappel down there, which would be kind of unsafe. But I just flew my drone under there and then helped inspect. And then the other thing is, I took the drone videos that we had, put it into software, and it made a 3D model of everything, so you could actually instantly get measurements. So
like BIM. Like BIM, you know, in architecture, it's called something. It's way to read things, and it'll draw a blueprint for you.
Mm.
All that technology is present. I mean, it'll scan it, measure it, everything, and that's what you're talking about, right, Ed?
Yeah. So your point about measuring tape, I'm like, well, I got my drone to do it.
Well, and you know, and there again, and I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, and that's the argument about why do I need to read a measuring tape when my computer can do it, essentially. And that's what you're talking about. So, you know, that's technology. I agree. And I know it's present. But there again, everyone should know how to read a tape measure. I'm old.
Damn it.
Yeah, everybody. I got to give a class on tape measure reading Monday and Tuesday night next week to a group of kids, you know. Mm. And believe me, I'm talking middle school kids, and this is third grade math. Anyway, I'll get off that. You know.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
No, I appreciate it. Well, you did it. 704-227-8986. Anyone can call in here and give me your 2 cents. I really appreciate you calling in and, you know, being part of the conversation today, because it's very effective. AI is in our lives, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. Right?
No, it's not going anywhere.
All right. Ed, I might even reach out to you, and we'd do another show about AI.
That sounds good.
Oh, man.
And technology.
You might convert him.
I'm not saying I'm against AI. There are elements of it, like Bodie just alluded to. There's good in everything, mm-hmm. as there's bad in everything. Nefarious is the word is, right?
I think we got to rewrite our stories.
Mm-hmm. I think it's perfection is the word.
Is that what it is? I hear you.
There's perfection in everything. Yep.
There's
that's how that yin
everything.
And yang. That's what that yin and yang symbol.
Yeah. There's love in everything.
For.
We just need everything's to. We need to both. Seek out the love and do what we got to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in the hills of North Carolina right now. Mm-hmm. The outpour of love and care for our fellow humans. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's another part to this, and I'm gonna, Ed. Can I say goodbye to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show today. We really do, and I appreciate you. This is Ed, and we'll just leave it at Ed because I can't say his last name. So say it for us, Ed.
All right. See you, Ray, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Love you, brother. Take care. Talk to you soon. All right. We got to take a break here. We'll be back on the other side with more stuff.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage. Softly smile.
All righty. Speaking of good vibrations. Yeah, there you go. Little Beach Boys. Dr. Cammie Benton's in the house today from Benton's Integrative Medicine. And Bodie, a psychotherapist from Sacred Roots Spiritual Community. And a little bit about Sacred Roots for Bodie. What is Sacred Roots?
So Sacred Roots Spiritual Community.
Talk to the mic.
It's kind of two-part. In a general sense, we are a spiritual community that is helping to network all of the people who have kind of alternative spirituality in the Charlotte area. So like our Facebook group, for example, has about 1,600 people in there. Tying together everyone who kind of sees themselves as spirit, what you would call spiritual but not religious.
Right.
And so we've been co-creating since 2017 a network system for all of those people to find each other. So that's one aspect of what we are. And then our main venue that we work out of at Sacred Roots Cabin in Charlotte is actually a integration center. And so that place, what we're doing is, when people have a spiritual awakening or they become like woke, they need somewhere to go and like resource and learn. And
need to be in a community of people who think who are like-minded.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
An outlet. Yeah.
And so we create the
collective
context for people to be able to go through that process. So we don't tell people what to think, but we help them learn how to think as their matrix mind is kind of dissolving itself
as we're jumping out of the big box.
That's right. And then we're helping them learn things like authentic communication, so that you can actually like learn what your authentic self and how to communicate with other people around that. We're helping people, and in our main modality that we help people with, because I'm a psychedelic therapist, we help people with integrating psychedelic experiences. So like every Monday night we have a psychedelic integration group, and that means anyone who has used psychedelics and had an experience and they need to like talk about that or integrate that or understand what it meant, you know, if they did it at their house in their living room or if they, you know, did it with me in a legal way at the ketamine clinic, then they can come and talk about those experiences, because those experiences tend toward helping people wake up out of what we would call like the matrix, you know,
sure.
and wake up to their own internal teacher and spirituality. And so we're hoping what we do there is really helping people once they've had those types of experiences,
sure.
which don't need to be on psychedelics. Sometimes people have them because they're going through a divorce, or because their life just changed, or they just one day kind of just woke up out and said, oh my gosh, I think everything that I believed was wrong. And then we're there to kind of catch them and help midwife them through that process.
A lot of people are going through an awakening mm-hmm. now to that number. And I want to go to trauma a little bit now.
Okay,
trauma. I've said this before, and I can say it today very openly, about the female gender of our society, how the trauma will follow you around all of your life unless you deal with it.
Right.
And you deal a lot with that, do you not?
Well, so, that's my main training is a trauma therapy.
But we hadn't said that yet.
Yeah, that's right.
And trauma is a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, and most of those people have been traumatized, and a lot, and I've lived life. I paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
And trauma is very prevalent in a lot of people.
And there's big T's and little T's.
That's right. And I have a wide view on trauma. You know, basically, trauma for me as a therapist and with the people that I work with is basically anything that happened that made you feel bad about yourself, about life, or about other people. And when it changes your mind about those things, it shifts you in a way that causes you to live your life different after that.
Sure.
You know, and then there's the physiological aspect of it as well. What happens to the brain and the nervous system when things happen that are overwhelming to the nervous system? So there's like two aspects of it, but I think in that bigger aspect of anything that made you feel bad about yourself, life, or other people, everyone can relate to carrying those little T traumas or the big T traumas. And what's interesting as far as how it affects the nervous system and the brain, you know, getting made fun of as a third grader can be just as traumatizing to the mind body as your parents getting divorced or having a car accident, you know. And people think, oh, well, you know, I didn't have this terrible trauma, so I must not be traumatized. I've never had a car accident. I've never had this big life-altering thing. But they don't realize how their nervous system gets affected by these, but mostly relational trauma.
Yeah.
The way other people treat you causes more damage to how we interact as humans than a lot of what we would call trauma.
Well, trauma today, now I'm guessing, I don't know, you're a doctor and you're a psychotherapist, y'all are out in the crazies community, and mm-hmm. I don't mean that negatively, it's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma is more prevalent today than ever before.
Well, I have a thought on that too, because
I was hoping so.
Yeah. The state. It's increasingly being recognized that there's a gut brain connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the embryo was part of the same piece of material
DNA,
that it grows
whatever,
in.
Yeah,
the linings. For the gut and the brain. So like 70 to 90% of your serotonin receptors are in your gut. And mm-hmm. so all people have heard about serotonin out there. So they found that the state of health of your gut at the time of your trauma can also affect how badly that trauma affects you.
Mm.
It's like
really?
This chicken and the egg
yeah.
kind of thing. And they found that they've actually done studies on people like in emergencies, how their gut actually shifts after 10 minutes, after an hour, after hours, after days. They've actually followed, I don't know how they've all done that, but they follow the gut flora. And so your gut is actually always shifting with how your nervous system is responding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, if you're already kind of a balanced person and you're centered and you tend to have a peaceful experience and you're not always stressed out, when you experience that death or that divorce or that whatever, then you actually are probably going to go through that trauma a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
than someone who has like really screwed up gut health. So then you think about all the gut health of all America right now, you know, with the Roundup, with the pesticides,
the
and
environmental toxins,
the environmental toxins and
the plastics.
Then you're adding in the blue screens with little people are giving their toddlers all the screens that's affecting their brain health and this. And everyone's disconnected, just the pure disconnection and separation. It's all affecting our gut health, which then augments the effect of trauma.
We talk about our health and, you know, our diets. American diet right now is at an all-time terrible place.
Actually, I think we're getting to the other side of that because more people are waking up about it. Okay, I would say the last 20 years, 20, 30 years is the all-time low, and we're seeing the effects, and now people are taking action.
That's right.
So I'm excited. We're heading out of that era.
Good. Well, people are waking up to that.
People are waking up
to that. The foods, and here's the thing that I've noticed that we've got to wake up to. What we're feeding our kids. Our obesity, the obesity problem in our schools, epidemic level. It's horrible. And why? Because of what our kids eat. What we're feeding them, the snacks, the sugar, the sugar, the sugar. Get the point? And if you know, I'm in after school programs. They have to have two snack breaks when they don't even need one. And what's in that snack? A pack of Doritos, a Rice Krispie bar, and a punch drink. Sugar, 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 and it's not even sugar. It's
hydrogenated oils.
High fructose corn syrup. It's not sugar, and the body, by the way, does not know what to do with high fructose corn syrup any other than just throw it in the fat pile.
And our government subsidizes the high fructose corn syrup. They subsidize all the sugar beets. They subsidize all the things that are actually making us unhealthy instead of subsidizing, like, natural farms and fruits and vegetables. And when you look at our school, there was in Lincoln County, they had the Super Donut that was supposed to be like a healthier version.
My gosh.
And that was like considered like healthy. I saw a kid's bag of food that they send home is a higher risk kid. And the grandma's like, you might want to actually, was just like, oh, well, the school sends it, so it must be fine. I'm like, so I was like, bring it to me. And it was like peanut butter with sugar in it.
Yeah,
and it was like cinnamon buns and crackers, and you're like, and then you should talk about Department of Health. You know, I'm actually on the board, the Department of Health in Lincoln County. Some great people on there.
They all care, but
they're not aware of is that they're like, oh, we're doing mammograms, we're doing vaccines, we're doing fluoride in drinking water. You know, that's a whole other realm of discussion. But I haven't heard them once discuss nutrition in our school systems.
No,
because they're not aware of it.
No,
they think the people think they're doing well, but that's because of the education, the TV programming,
from
what they're being taught.
It's like three meals a day, folks. I'm sorry, we don't need three meals a day.
And you know, have y'all heard of the box top? The school system had the box top programs where they encourage kids to take the box tops like cereals and macaroni and whatever,
cheese,
that kind of
whatever.
Stuff. And then they actually get these, and then General Mills will donate money to the schools, right? Well, General Mills is pure crap.
It is.
Like, if you buy something that has General Mills on it, it is pure fabricated food.
I agree.
So our school systems are pairing up with big food companies that are encouraging kids to eat junk food to raise money for their schools. And I also learned recently that the big tobacco bought the big food companies back in the 1970s.
Sure they did.
So tobacco is considered a sacred plant in many indigenous communities. It's considered
raw tobacco is not what you smoke.
Raw tobacco is actually a sacred plant. But the cigarette companies bastardize their raw tobacco, put an addictive thing. So then when they start realizing, oh, well, we're getting in trouble and they're figuring us out, then they buy the big food companies that then create further addiction.
They shelter it.
They're creating addictive foods. If, like, most people are like, oh, I can't get enough broccoli. I've got to eat pounds and pounds of broccoli to feel satisfied. No, you're not seeing commercials for broccoli or carrots or, like, chicken. You know, when you see commercials for a food product, it is something that you should not eat, period.
Pretty much. Yep.
So if there's a commercial for it, don't eat it. If there's an advertisement, don't eat it. Like, if I tell people, if you can't pluck it out of the earth, off a tree, kill it or milk it, you don't eat or drink it.
Now, then you say, well, now how do I eat or feed my food, feed my family under these parameters? It's tough, ain't it?
Yeah, you shop on the outside of the grocery store or you get dried rice and beans. And the hard part is doing it affordably. Again, thank your government for subsidizing the cheap foods and making that more available than actual healthy foods. So write your legislators. Say we demand healthy food. Start learning how to garden. YouTube or AI, look how to like raise a garden. And even that's expensive for some people. For me to go buy dirt and, you know, to put on top of the soil and all that is really not accessible to a lot of people. And that's where if our government is the kind, loving thing that it is, then they need to be providing healthy food sources in school and not allowing soda machines in schools, snack machines in school, the crappy food. Like, our school system is subsidizing that obesity epidemic because subsidized by the big corporations and government. That it's like this horrible cycle. So it requires us to make this revolution and find out how to make healthy food available to your average person.
Mm-hmm. I got to round it up here. Bring it all together. Our healthcare system is subsidized by the government. Our education system is run by the government. FEMA is run by the government. Everything run by the government is run amok.
Because it's run by big corporations.
That's where I'm headed.
The oligarchs.
The oligarchs, big corporate money, is controlling our lives.
And our education.
Our lives. And our lives are around education. Mm-hmm. And I question, what the heck is education these days? It's indoctrination is what it is. It's brainwashing is what it is. And now, how is all this working for us? I think we're at a point, if we just look to the West, to realize we can handle this. We as a people, we as a nation can handle this collectively, and we are, and we will. We're a strong bunch of people if we just get together as people. Our government cannot, will not, has not done it or will do it, has been proven so many times. Now, we can sit back and take that as a complete diversion, which we're doing, complaining about, whining about, but we're also, on the other hand, a great mass of us are going around it, which is what we're talking about. We've got a tremendous problem collectively, and that's just dealing with the PSYOP. And I think that's what's going on. That's it. You know, and we need to wake up to our health. And speaking of health, and I was talking about frequency and vibrations. If you're loving and caring and really serving your fellow man, that's what we all want to be doing. We all want to be, but we're so divided now, we find ourselves fighting with one another. Over what? Over what?
But they didn't, I tell you what, for at least a week, I didn't hear anything about politics. And then people started getting divided again. But for about a week, people are coming together of all political persuasion to work together, and that's what we have. We need to bring that in on a daily basis when we're not in trauma, in an emergency. But that's, if we could practice that moment of coming together, look what people, I mean, everyone I know is working to help the hurricane relief. Everyone mm-hmm. I know is doing it with pure love. They're not posting their pictures on the Facebook. I mean, some are, but it's for the purpose of helping. So I'm not judging those. I mean, we want people to know what's going on. But, like, people are just doing it because their hearts want them to. Mm-hmm. Let's pull that back in. Let's say, what does that feel like to help our fellow man? So we're divided in our little neighborhoods where we don't talk to any of our neighbors. But right now we are in community doing hard work, mm-hmm. really traumatic work. And we're doing it because we want our fellow man to be safe and to feel loved and to have shelter, to be cared for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of outpouring of love and care.
Well, and it shows you what human nature actually
is. Of who we really are.
That's who humans really are.
That's
you know,
who we really are.
We focus on, oh, the looters or these people or those people because people want to sensationalize. But what's real is 90% of people, when they heard about it, were like, what can I do immediately?
Right.
And it didn't matter how poor they were. Didn't matter how much they didn't, you know, resources they didn't have.
Sure.
They're still out there wanting to help. And that's human nature, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. And that is what we have to focus on for sure, because this is just the opening act, guys.
Yep.
For things
you're right.
That are happening, that are going
to
be dysregulating.
Oh, it's
going
to get, we're just plowing this. We're just starting to turn the soil in this farm.
And we need to, like, pay attention to our attention span, like the gentleman earlier talked about. In a couple weeks, we'll start forgetting and move on to the next crisis. Mm-hmm. And
they're always putting crisis on us, too, if you'll notice. Part of the PSYOP.
There's crisis happening all over the world all the time. They're just picking it, you know, they're just picking it because it's sensational. It's what our minds focus on what is going wrong naturally. And that works great when you're living in the jungle, because if you're focusing on the beautiful flower, you might miss that branch that has the jaguar on it. So our brains are naturally always looking for what's going wrong, and they capitalize on that. But if they put what was going right all the time in the media, our brains wouldn't be interested in it. We want to know what we need to be preparing for. Oh, that happened. How can I fix my life so that doesn't happen to me? And even if you don't, even if there's not this like PSYOP, we're trying to make you afraid, the way our natural brains are, this is what brings the attention. This is what we pay attention to as humans, because that is our natural state, to look for what's going wrong.
Right. So as we enter into the election month, let's remember that the guy, whoever the guy or the person is that is elected, mm-hmm. has nothing to do with my neighbor and mm-hmm. the people that need help. And so that's, if we can like just take a deep breath and peel apart our political persuasions and just continue to help people, because these people are going to need help for months.
No,
and
years,
there.
Not
and yeah, some are
not,
years. Some are years.
No,
but
we're talking years. Matter of fact, I'm really concerned about them condemning the whole western part of the state because of the infrastructure crash.
Mm-hmm.
The infrastructure in western North Carolina is pretty much wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, there's bits and pieces through there that are functional.
And so go to those towns to support them because they need the tourists.
Yeah,
they need
support, question. But the point is, you know, most of western North Carolina roads are gone. The infrastructure is devastated as a whole. You know, now, like I said, there are bits and pieces here and there. And it's like there's pieces of Asheville that haven't suffered much at all, other than power disruption, cell phone disruption,
and water.
You know, the basic infrastructure items, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty dreadful in itself. However, there's some people up there that have lost everything, including family members, pets. Everything they own is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. I've shed many a tear the past 2 weeks over all this, and it's hard to even think about it, truly. Bodies. And I have to tell you this because I've got an inside scoop on a lot of different intel, okay? The body count you're hearing on mainstream media is nowhere near accurate. We're talking mm-hmm. thousands of people that are missing. Mm-hmm. Not hundreds, thousands. Thousands mm-hmm. of people that are missing. Just like in Katrina, mm-hmm. back in the New Orleans days. Thousands are missing. But we're not hearing about it because they don't want you to know how catastrophic it really is. So,
well, let me ask you a question. What would be the point of understanding that?
And, of the real
and I'm not saying, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong or right. I'm just asking, like, what would be the most important reason for people outside of that situation to truly understand that? Would it be because it would be better for us to want to continue to support?
To understand the magnitude and the compassion that we need to feel for those people that have lost, that have just literally lost everything they have,
mm-hmm.
or they had,
mm-hmm.
and where they go from here, just mm-hmm. to know. I mean, I don't know. But
that goes back to what we were talking about before, and not to be in a place of discompassion, but what happens when we
exactly
focus our mind on oh my God, there were 10 kids that got, you know, in a bus and they washed away. Like, now I'm feeling sad for 3 days.
Right.
What is that doing to my capacity to be able to hold space for my clients or think about what's in front of me? Now, if I know there's a tragedy there and I'm sitting to be able to hold space for my clients or think about what's in front of me. Now, if I know there's a tragedy there and I'm sending every resource that I have to that.
Sure.
Aside from that, getting emotionally engaged in it by watching all the stories and hearing all this
right.
terrible things that are happening, that puts you right in your limbic system, and then you're not effective in your life, you know? And I don't know how great it is for us to just keep hammering all the
right.
trauma
Good
stories.
Point.
We know it's devastated. Yeah. Send everything you can. We need to know what to send. We need to know where to send it. But we don't need to know every single trauma story, because we get vicarious trauma and it dysregulates us. And our minds want to look at every single trauma story because our minds want to come up with preparation for, oh God, that happened. Okay, how do I keep that from happening to me? That's why we like sit on there and just scroll through every single trauma story. But that is creating vicarious trauma, and it's causing, like you said, you cried for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah,
how
no
much
question.
Did that help them? Well, for you to cry 2 weeks. What helped is you getting activated and bringing this guy on your radio show where, hey, let's give, this is a way to get the
right,
systems out.
Yes.
That helps.
Right.
Does not help to for everybody to get also dysregulated. Somebody's got to stay in their frontal lobes to help these people. Because you know what helps people the most when they're in trauma? Is other people holding executive function for them. Those people can't organize enough right now because they're traumatized. They don't even have clothes. Their whole everything just messed up. They're not organized enough to be able to take in even the supplies that just came in because they don't have executive function. They need us to help them with that, but we have to stay in the part of our brain that has executive function.
No, I hear what you're saying, and let's elaborate. We got to take a break here, and we can come back on the other side with more about that. And that's why you're the psychotherapist. And see, bring it on back, girl. Bring it on back. Yeah. I told you it's going to get deep here, folks.
It's
but
great.
But the reality is exactly that. And you're right, and I appreciate you putting it in that perspective.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more, folks. All right, welcome back. We got Dr. Cammy Benton, MD, Benton's Integrative Medicine, and Bodie, psychotherapist, in the house today talking, well, with what we've gone through in the past couple of weeks and beyond, actually, and what we're about to undergo in the next month with this divisive culture we're in right now. Very divided. I hate to say that, but you wanted to elaborate on where we
are. Actually, I want Bodie to elaborate on this because it is important. Because everything, what we have been conditioned to behave in certain ways, and like you said, there are some ways that are just innately we are conditioned to be. But what I want to learn us to do after COVID, after all this era, is how can we do it differently? How can we learn from the past and be in this higher frequency?
Right, of love and care.
Of love and caring. And I was just saying before, it's like I was raised like, gosh, if I did something wrong, I've got to like beat myself up and self-flagellate for like to kind of make up for their suffering. And all it ends up is being with two people suffering. Mm-hmm. And so how can we be in that love frequency? What would love do? What would love, in every moment, what would love do? And sometimes I'm not going to be perfect about that because we're trying to unlearn that. So, like, Bodie was just making some great points in how we can approach this election season and with all the traumas and the scary things and people dying and you know, all this scary stuff going on, how can we shift that as a collective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when we... It really goes back to just this basics of like our nervous system. You know, we know as humans, like I was saying earlier in the show, we've known this since the earliest teachings on this are in the Vedas. And it's really about if we keep our nervous system calm and peaceful, then we have access to higher wisdom. And we know this just in our general lives, even if we're not spiritual at all. If I'm at peace and I am calm, then I can make better decisions.
Yes.
And when we know also about humans that when we learn of someone else's trauma, we vibrate. We're like tuning forks. Mm-hmm. If you get dysregulated, I get dysregulated. Unless I have really good control of my nervous system, I cannot get dysregulated when you are. But most people don't. So when we have half of our state dysregulated right now and in trauma, the best thing that we can do to help is everything we can do to stay strong and be regulated so that we can hold executive function for them, meaning create organization. Like when people are in trauma, they can't think forward. They can't think about what we would call executive function skills, like planning and organizing and things like that. We can hold that for them. But we can't hold it if we're dysregulated because right. We're, like, so upset about what's happening to them.
It sounds like every time we deal with emotion, we go into that place. Emotion's the culprit of what we feel in our hearts and care. Sometimes we've got to remove that in order to go forward. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of who we are.
Right.
And that emotion kind of gets in the way.
Well, there's, you know, there are states of emotion, right? Because the emotion of gratitude, of appreciation, of, you know, those types of emotions obviously don't take us out of
but fear our, and anger and all that other stuff does.
Those other emotions, the emotions that we would call associated with fear are the ones that cause our nervous system to get dysregulated and cause us to go into our limbic system and out of our frontal lobes, you know, because we're afraid. When we're afraid, our body's like, what do I need to do right now to survive? And then it responds however it responds in a dysregulated way. And it's usually some level of fear, which can also include sadness or anger or whatever. And when we're in those states in our nervous system, we're not able to use the kind of functions that we need to actually help. We're not helping if we're getting upset too. And that's
no, we become part of the problem.
We become part of the problem. Right. Because now we've got a whole bunch of people upset and nobody actually being able to do what needs to be
lead.
Done.
Yeah.
Right. And we find that like in real serious danger, when humans are in real serious danger, and I've experienced this myself. Most people actually, for whatever reason, and maybe it's a spiritual reason, maybe whatever, you know, they click into action and they just do what needs to be done, and then they feel emotions. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, been
in
there.
The actual moment of danger, yeah. It's like something you in you yeah, just knows take, how to
it
act.
It takes over, and you do the what's needed to be done.
Right,
yeah,
and
there,
then
yeah.
10 minutes after it's over and everybody's you safe, and you say, fall apart, yeah, you know, and right. All the emotion comes. And we saw that with what happened in Western North Carolina. I mean, it was like people just went into action. They packed up their cars. They put crap in it. They started driving, you know. But then as we're hearing these stories come out, and I think that that's probably, you know, a good reason why the government and why the media is not just pouring in, you know, every terrible story, because as they're coming out, you know, they're not coming out on the media so much as far as the death tolls and those things. There are stories coming out, but I think if they were to pour out what it really was, it would be so dysregulating to people. And it's probably, I don't know why they're doing it or not doing it, but the fact that we don't have access to that is better for us to be able to help. Because we don't need to know every single terrible thing. We know how devastated it is. We know the infrastructure is devastated. We know that people are suffering. We know that people are still missing. And we know that people are still, like, and it's getting worse because it's getting cold. So what do we do?
Right.
If we're sitting at home scared to death and sad and worn out, and then also worried about, oh my God, all these other things are going to happen, and crap, do I need to go get a generator? Do I need to go get gas cans? Right. Like, do I need to? And everybody's like freaking out, then they're not able to truly help.
And you think about that, like you said, people sitting at home crying and sad and worried. Could you imagine if you shifted that energy towards prayer?
Right.
Or like, meditation. If you don't know about meditation, we hadn't brought that word into the fold this morning. Meditation,
mm-hmm.
You know, learning how to calm your emotions down, and what you, to your
and I
point.
Think the word meditation can be triggering for a lot of people. I've discovered, which mm-hmm. is unfortunate.
So in a
some people
way.
Caught in a because it has religious, mm-hmm. it can be religious triggering. But really, I always tell my patients. I have a lot of Christian patients. Like prayer is talking, meditation is listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meditation is just being still or quiet contemplation.
Exactly.
You know,
quieting your mind.
Quieting your mind. So imagine
down.
If you're sitting there, like you said, if you're in your house and you're like worrying and stressed out, and you know, and you could just sit there and say, see the best outcome.
Mm-hmm.
If we could do that collectively,
mm-hmm.
we can make a shift.
Mm-hmm. And what we need to be praying, like if we're going to pray for those people, what we don't need to be doing is sitting here seeing them. Oh my God, this is so terrible. Your whole life just fell apart. What we need to see is, damn, you're Appalachians. You're strong. You're resilient. Whatever's in front of you, you're going to make it. And sending
and that's
them
the
that
yeah,
vibe.
Absolutely.
Because right. when we've done so many studies on prayer, and what we found is, so they did this one particular study where it was a blind control study where there were people who were all having the same surgery on one side of the country. And there were people that were praying for, or there were half of them got prayed for and half of them did not get prayed for. But these people didn't know those people. They just got their name and they were sending them the good outcome.
Energy.
They were thinking, your body's healing fast. You're doing, you know, just thinking all of those positive things. And 100% of the time, the people that got that did better. And
awesome.
They didn't know they were getting it. And nobody knew who, they didn't know each other.
Blinded.
It was
wow.
completely blinded. And so what we know is that we're sending energy into somebody's system when we're thinking about them.
Right.
Sending energy. It's all about energy, folks. More about energy and lots of other stuff. Next mm-hmm. hour number 3 coming up. Right here on About Your House, Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app, stream us live. But right now, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with hour number 3.
But I'm not the only one.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for hour 3 as Ray talks more with Dr. Cami Benton, MD of Benton's Integrative Medicine, and Bodie, a psychotherapist from Sacred Roots Spiritual Company. They'll be continuing their talk about health and their experiences in the healthcare industry, so stick around. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop. That's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot when the ones that you've got have always got your back. And the older I get, better I am in knowing when to give and when to just not give a damn.
All right, welcome back. Talking about life, life, and all things considered. Little crazy right now in our environment, and we're just trying to find some answers here and seek solitude. I want to talk a minute about meditation, mm-hmm. because there's, Bodhi, explain your definition of meditation.
So meditation is really just learning how to regulate your nervous system. It's learning how to calm down those parts of you that get dysregulated. And when you calm down, what people have found throughout all of history is that something else comes alive in them, and you can call it your inner teacher, you can call it your connection to God, you can call it whatever, but there's some kind of inner knowing that comes online when you get calm and peaceful long enough. And that's why they say go sit and be quiet and sit in nature. And it's once we calm down our nervous system, we become receivers of information that is our, you can call it your own higher self, you can call it your own inner intelligence. It doesn't matter what you call it. You can call it Captain Crunch. As long as it's taking you to a more empowered place inside of yourself and a more calm place inside of yourself that creates more compassion for you and others, you know it's going taking you in the right direction. And that's what meditation does. It's just calming your nervous system down so you can start to hear the truth that is inside of all of us. And every religion across the board has always found that, and they speak of that. And even it, you know, in layman's religions, there's a lot of divisiveness and this is the only way. But in even in those layman religions, when you get into the more esoteric parts of those religions or the more introspective parts of those religions, they all say we have it inside of us and a connection inside of us. And it doesn't matter what religion, all of them say that.
We're all connected to source.
That's right.
Essentially.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be alive if you weren't.
I know.
You know?
I mean, that's,
yeah.
But that's the hard, cold truth. We all are connected to source. Mm-hmm. You can fill that source in with what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we're all connected to source. When I'm asked if I ever go to church, I say, yeah, I go to the woods frequently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because nature is my church.
Yeah.
And frankly speaking, we are... All of us are God's creation, a part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're the animals walking called human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But we are nature.
That's right.
And they can't, and I got to say this with a doctor sitting beside me, and you can't inject anything man-made into that natural created body of God and expect it to change without problems.
Well, and I think
you want to embellish that a little bit?
We stay on the spiritual realm. You cannot inject health.
Right.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, and one of the things that we were talking earlier about the beauty of how humans have, for example, when this big tragedy happened in Western North Carolina, immediately the response that everybody had, 90% of people were like, how can I help?
Yeah.
And everybody got activated to want to help. Well, one of the reasons that going into nature to meditate is so powerful for humans is because it's showing us how to act in a way that is going to be, that's going to increase health. For example, the trees, if you go into a huge forest, if one tree gets sick or gets an attack by a bug, underneath the, it'll send it messages through the roots, and then through the mycelial system, it'll send messages to the rest of the trees, and trees acres away will start changing their what they're doing to protect themselves from that bug. But more than that, they start sending resources to that tree to try to help it. And humans do the same exact thing. We in ways that we're sending resources is by putting our attention on things.
When energy.
We put our energy.
Focusing right. Our energy on the point.
And humans' superpower, what we do that's different than any other creature on this planet, is that we can bring things from the place of thought, which some people call the astral realm, but it's just the thought realm. We bring thought into form.
Astral projection.
Well, and we bring thought into form. That's sure. What humans do. We're the only ones that do it. As a matter of fact, everything that you put your eyes on other than nature was brought here this way. A human thought, hey, that would be cool to have this thing right here. And they focused their energy, brought together the resources, and made that thing. Everything. We make thought into things.
I agree 100%.
And
I'm right with you there.
When we think about anything, when we focus our mind on anything, we are in the process of bringing that into form.
This is very important. This is very important, listeners. Listen to this, right? Because this matters about how we make our world.
That's right. That's right. Because the thing that we get
we
to
are
do,
what we
this
think.
Is this is where free will comes into play. We get to choose what we think about, what we put our attention on. And whatever we put our attention on, we're bringing more of that into this realm. And so if we want, like going back to seeing the people in Western North Carolina, if we put our attention on how sad and devastating and terrible that is, we are creating more of that energy. If we put our attention on how powerful it is that humans are working together, how can I help put my energy into that?
Sure.
How can these people be more resilient, more strong, more peaceful with whatever they have to face? Because they're facing some of the hardest things. Like you said earlier, some of these people only have the clothes on their back at this point, you know? And when we're sending our thoughts and our energy toward seeing them resilient, seeing them peaceful, seeing them see the benefit in other people helping them, we are benefiting them just by those thoughts. Even if we never meet those people, we are benefiting them by those thoughts because we are creators in that way. It is our superpower. And we get to choose. And you know what's really cool about it? As you can know which thoughts you want to choose by how they make you feel. Because every time you bring a thought into your consciousness, it gives you a taste test of if this thought became a thing, this is how you're going to feel all the time. So when this thought comes in, oh my God, the world's on fire, we're all going to die, how do you feel? Like really dysregulated and bad. Well, if that were the case, that's how you would feel all the time. So do you want to keep your mind there? Because you are hoping to co-create that in that moment. And then you decide, okay, which thoughts do I want to hold that are, and you can tell by your inner compass by how that thought makes you feel. And the more in alignment it is with love, the better it's going to make you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get to decide that. Every one of us gets a decision about that every single moment. And that's why keeping your nervous system regulated is so important, because then you do have the choice of what thoughts are coming in. When you're in your limbic system, you do not have much of a choice of what thoughts you're holding. You know, you're because when you're in your limbic system, you are running on all your body knows from the past. And so you're bringing the past into the present. You're
right.
you're not running your thought forms on what you want to create. You're running it on what you already think you know, which usually isn't good.
Right.
Yeah, there's you keep bringing up the word limbic system, mm-hmm. and this is there's different ways of managing this. There's meditation, you know, and there's therapy, there's breath work. Mm-hmm. And so it's worth exploring some of those things. There are also what they call subconscious therapies. They have limbic system retraining. Mm-hmm. There's primaltrust.org, rewiringthebrain.com, or retrainingthebrain.com. There's mm-hmm. some Christian brain rewires. And all those are things that you could do at home. So if you're like, oh, I can't do therapy, I can't afford this, you can actually buy the program online and actually work to do exercises at home. It retrains your limbic system. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people go from serious food reactions, chemical sensitivities, like, oh, they can't smell gas, they can't smell, you know, that you run into this building and you have headaches and or you get rashes. When you feel anxious, just being, it smells. It's basically your nervous system's kind of jacked up. If you feel like your nervous system is jacked up and you're like, I can't afford therapy, then check out the limbic system rewiring programs. Like I said, there's a Christian one, Christian Brain Rewire, primaltrust.org, and that's a good foundational place that you can start if you feel like you can't go out or go seek therapy, like Bodhi and, you know, so many other therapists. They're actually more trauma-informed people are able to help you regain that. And but that's not just affecting your nervous system, you know, because I mean, you and I are understanding how it affects everything, but it literally can. It affects how your blood pressure works, your pulse, your skin.
Stress is the number one creator of sickness. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about stress. Mm-hmm. Let's put it in simple terms. This is stress, mm-hmm. emotional stress. Mm-hmm. Stress is the largest contributor to poor health.
Mm-hmm. And another thing to consider, too, is I didn't even realize this. I had a chiropractor who does functional neurology talk about when you are in your fight or flight mode, your vision gets into this hyper focus. You're like, you're looking, it tells you where to go in the jungle, and then it sends blood to your arms and your legs mm-hmm. and away from your digestive tract. So two of the many things happening, is that one is like when you're sitting there staring at the screen, your eyes are hyper focused. Your body, again, does not know that you're not even in danger, but your body hyperfocus replicates that situation where you are in danger. And so then that by itself, just staring at a screen all day intensely, can affect your nervous system. So then you can combine that with the fear, the trauma, and all that. And then, like you said, it replicates that. Even though it's not happening to you, your body does not know it's happening
That's
to
right.
you. And so then your gut is affects your gut health. So then there's a lot of people out there, just so you know, it's called SIBO. It's a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And SIBO is basically those people, if you are eating and drinking things and you feel like you're pregnant by the end of the day, your belly just bloats all day long, it goes down in the morning and the next day it like bloats again, or you have irritable bowel syndrome, almost always that's SIBO, mm-hmm. small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. You can look up SIBOinfo.com to look at more information. But even those people, they come to me, they're usually stressed out people or have had a trauma. I was this way ever since I had this surgery, or someone died, or I had this trip. And then every time I'll treat it, they get better. Their first stressful situation, a death or a job, it flares right back up. Why? Because that is your stress center. Some people call it your solar plexus, your power center. But that's where if you are stressed, it tends to go to your gut. So you got to retrain your nervous system mm-hmm. in order to help your gut. Your gut affects your brain, your mood, your skin issues like psoriasis and eczema are related to your gut health. I mean, it's just holistic, whole body connection.
Yeah. And the simplest thing that anybody can do, and it's free, is learn how to control your breath.
Right.
Because your body.
I don't want you to get all going again because you got good stuff, girl. and I'm against the clock here. I got about a minute for a break.
Bring it back to breath work.
All right. Well, we're going to bring it back to breath.
Yeah, I want to bring it back to breath work because I know that's going to take longer than a minute.
It will.
So let's go ahead and take it. Can we take an early break here, Rich? and going to take an early break, and we'll come back and talk about breath work. You know, folks, we're all of us are going through some sort of crisis. We all do. That's just life. How do we deal with it?
That's right.
Because we're all going through things right now, a lot of things, more so than I can recall being the age I am. So let's figure out a few ways to deal with it, and that's what this is about. Let's spread some love, you want to? And really, it's all about love and togetherness, you know. Let's share what we do know, the good stuff. And this is good stuff. Knowing is power. Let's know more. We'll be back.
Whenever I call you, friend, I begin to think I understand. Anywhere you are, you and I. Ever and ever, I see myself within your eyes, and that's all I need to show the world. Everything I do always takes me home.
There you go. We're back. Great to be back. For the break, we were talking about a lot of stuff, but primarily, you know, breathing. Mm-hmm. The breathing exercises, how that can release your stress and, you know, redirect your energies. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So we've known this, you know, I mean, for people who, like Cammy was saying, you know, who have physiological issues and who have, you know, a lot of stress and a lot of trauma. And, you know, you can go and try to figure out all these different therapies to go to and all these different medicines to take and all these different supplements to take. But genuinely, if you go back to the root, it is getting your nervous system back into a balanced state. And the number one tool that we have for that is our breath, because our mind has control of whether we breathe or not. Our mind doesn't typically have control of our heart rate or other, you know, kind of systems in our body, but we do have control of our breath. And when we learn to speak to our body through our breath.
Right.
Because our body, you can tell your body, oh, well, this is just on, you know, YouTube right now, this terrible thing I'm watching. We're not really scared. And the body's like, oh, no, I'm scared. But the way you can tell it to not be scared, you can't just say we're safe.
Right.
It doesn't speak English. It speaks body.
Right.
So the body knows when it slows the breath down, when it slows the breath down, that means there's not a tiger in the room. There's nothing unsafe. So when you slow your breath down, the body's like, oh, well, there must not be a tiger in the room. I'm safe. And so it stops the chemicals that create that fight or flight.
To that point. That's one example of how you are in total control of your health.
That's right.
You know, for example, when my blood pressure's high, I'll take my blood pressure. I take it every week. And if it's 144 over, what, maybe 75, well, that 144 is concerning. I'll do breathing exercises right there, right then and there, and I bring it down to around 120 over whatever. And that's control. Now, I've always been able to do that with my healing, but we all have it, and to your point. And you are in control. Some people in today's world, I got to call the doctor to see what's wrong.
That's right.
And you're in control. You have the control.
Right. Well, and I mean, any healer, myself as a psychotherapist, you as a doctor, what's healing them is them, always. Any real healer does not let people outsource
that's
their healing.
That's the point.
Right? You know?
That's the
it's
point.
Like you're healing yourself.
It's like Dr. Joe.
And you
went
have
to
that
a
power.
Conference around Dr. Joe Dispenza. This is his mantra. We all are healers.
Right.
Every one of us.
We're all divine beings.
We're all divine beings made in God's under God's creation, and we all have we're all healers.
Right.
We all have the power.
And the separation is to tell us that if you think you are, then you are being sacrilegious.
No, that's crazy.
Like, it's all those things that we're being separated from ourselves. But can
But even if we take it out of a religious context, you know, and we look at it in just an energy context, I mean, anyone can see that the difference between an alive body and a dead body is that there's some kind of energy that is alive in us, and we can call that life force energy.
Yeah.
And if you cut your arm, and I don't care if you're an atheist or a Christian, if you cut your arm, it ain't the Band-Aid that fixes it. Your arm heals itself. Why? Because it has life force energy
sure.
in it. And in all of these old religions, or not even religions, but just in thought forms, like in Chinese medicine, they call it qi. In yogic tradition or Ayurveda, they call it prana. It's the life force energy that makes us alive. It's what's working inside of us.
It gives us that power.
You can also call that God. You can also call that just energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it. It's still in all of us.
It's there.
When somebody, if I came to her with a broken arm, as the doctor, she's not the one fixing my arm. She'll put it in a cast, but my arm is healing itself.
I'm helping to facilitate your healing.
Right.
Correctly.
And what we know for a fact is that more life force energy comes to us through the intake of oxygen. For example, most of us have had the experience of being near a waterfall or near the ocean and feeling better.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The reason is because there's a lot of free oxygen because the water's crashing and it's breaking the H and the 2 and the O up, and we're getting more free oxygen. Well, that oxygen, according to Ayurvedic system, the life force energy is held on the oxygen molecule. So when we're breathing oxygen, we're actually increasing our life force energy, which is our healing capacity. It's the energy that is causing us to heal physically, but also causes us to have mental stability and well-being. And so, you know, taking it out of, quote, spiritual terms, when we control our breath, we are controlling that life force energy. And when that life force energy is needed because there's a tiger in the room, the body pulls as much oxygen as it can, runs it to your hands and your feet so you can beat the crap out of that tiger or run away from it. And it does that because it loves us and it wants us to survive, right? But when we are constantly feeding ourselves things that make our body think there's a tiger in the room constantly, then we're getting too much and we can slow it down. And just like a fire, if you give a fire a lot of oxygen, it burns and burns and burns. If you're angry, if you're scared, and you slow down the oxygen, your mind has to slow down because your physiology has to slow down. So when if you breathe, and so the best pattern that you can breathe is the pattern that a baby breathes, or I think about like an old man, like in his chaise lounge asleep, you know, he'll be like, and a baby breathes like that. And when we're in safety mode, if our body won't even let us go to sleep if it doesn't feel safe enough, right? And when we're in safety mood, aka there's not a tiger in the room, then our body naturally goes into that breath pattern. And so it's an inhale for a short time and an exhale longer. And the way that they teach it to us is breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, hold out for 4. So there's 4 counts that you're breathing in oxygen and basically 12 counts that you're not. That's just like the pattern. And they actually use this in the Navy SEALs. They teach people to learn to make it muscle memory to breathe like this so that when this guy comes in and there literally is a tiger in the room and there's a gun in front of you, your body is never going to get dysregulated because you're continually breathing like that, even when there's somebody with a gun in your face. That's why they teach them that. And so we each have the power to just teach ourselves that. And if you can teach yourself that, and I teach my clients to set a timer on their phone every 30 minutes that has its own ringtone so that when that timer goes off, they check. And they're like, ooh, I was breathing fast, or I was holding my breath, or I was tense.
That is a therapy in itself.
Yeah, and you just stop for a second, and you go back to that breathing pattern. And at just like riding a bike, the more you bring your attention to it and practice breathing like that, the more that your body's just going to go into a natural state of always just breathing like that.
Now, what do you say to those people? Because I was one time, like when I hit my wall when I was 39, I went to my first yoga class and they started breathing and had a panic attack because I just couldn't. I was so not used to breathing. And I worked with someone who, like, the box breathing caused her anxiety. Mm-hmm. So what do you recommend to those people that are so in that whatever that dysregulated nervous system that even breathing creates mm-hmm. anxiety for them.
Well, what's creating anxiety for them in that case is the breath holds. Mm-hmm. And so you just don't do the breath holds. So you're just breathing like a baby. Just mm-hmm.
Or breathe in for four and out for
seven.
And
then out for seven. Yeah. Right, exactly. And not doing the breath holds. Because it will, like, if your body thinks it's not getting any oxygen and it's already triggered, mm-hmm. then it will go into panic because it's like, no, I've got to have the oxygen because I've got to fight the tiger.
Yeah, right? I would have never thought that just breath work would make people anxious, but I knew someone, and she's like, I just can't do it. And she's like, so that's helpful for people because there's a lot of traumatized people out there.
That's right.
And I said that earlier in the show, trauma is very prevalent in our culture, especially with women, you know, and there's mechanisms and ways to deal with that.
That is so interesting that you think especially with women. I'm so curious about where your thought process is on that.
I've been married three times. I've gone through I've gone through a lot of trauma in those families, okay? Uh-huh. And then I was told, imagine you men out there coming out of a Walmart one day and walking to your car. Has fear ever been a part of your life?
Yeah, I think there's some.
That little statement, and I mm-hmm. said, no, not me. Well, every woman practically on the planet has concerns going out of a grocery store or anything, walking to their car. Mm-hmm. That's why I said it.
Mm.
And men are assholes. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. You want to hit the button? And they've treated women terribly through recent history. Am I right or wrong?
And for me, and I'm going to bring in my little hippie here.
But I
agree. For me, I do think there are a couple of things. I think there are a lot of men who are more traumatized than they're willing to admit. And
right.
Because they've been disconnected from their emotions and from their selves, just like women have.
Sure.
I do think there is that underlying thing about women and their safety.
Right.
It's like in your house, you're like, when you think about someone breaking in your house, you're not thinking they're going to come rape
no,
you.
No,
You're not thinking you're going to be violated and then tortured and then killed. You're just going to be shot and killed. Right. That's what goes through women's minds. But this is why men out there, there's been the deconstruction of the masculine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But there's a toxic masculine and there's the divine masculine. The toxic feminine and the divine feminine.
Right.
The angry woman, the angry liberal woman, is a result of the toxic masculine. So it's like this bouncing back.
Right.
There's a rise. I truly believe there's a rise of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And my husband is one of the divine masculines.
Sure.
He is.
We need men who are strong,
right.
Who are masculine. My husband is a gun-toting, knife-wearing hippie. Who is loving? I feel for the first time in my life at 40, when I was 47 when I met him, I feel safe. He will kill you if you mess with me.
Got him. Yeah.
He will kill you and not even think about it. So then what that does is it allows me to finally, I had to be the man and the woman to protect myself.
Right.
And to be the doer, to be the provider. And then now I get to be the creative. I get to love. I get to parent my children for the first time because I'm not a state of trauma. I get to be the woman.
Right.
I want to be the woman.
And all this sexism and all this feminism and all this, to me, it blows my mind. It's real simple.
They're reacting to each other.
Yeah, we got women and we got men. And we've all got our places on the planet. God made it that way. And I kind of like the arrangement. I do. I love it, you know, and I'll go with it. But back to trauma.
Yeah.
You know, you just said it. Most women are traumatized. Well, am I right, Bodie?
Well, I mean, so
where do I get it from?
I would say that women. Yeah, I would say from the perspective of women have an extra layer of safety concerns.
Sure.
Because of our history as women and our, you know, yes. I would say that from that perspective, I could say that. But I would say that men and women are equally traumatized.
Okay.
And they're traumatized for different reasons about different things. And part of the trauma of men is that they're not allowed to process and feel emotions other than happy and sad, you know, or not even sad, happy and angry. Those are the two that they're allowed to have. And the whole other range of human emotions are not they're not allowed to or seen as okay
right.
to be able to do that. That is traumatizing.
Sure.
And it creates so much so much disharmony in the body to not be able to access and express those feelings. And that's a thing that men have that women don't have. You know, men are not allowed to see to have true intimacy with other people without it being sexualized. That is so freaking sad.
It is
like
sad.
I can't come over to you and just hold
you. And that is very sad.
It is.
Because I tell guys all the time, I love you. I tell men
right.
all the time. I started this 15 years ago. I said, man, I love you.
Right.
Well, then other men said, what do you mean you love him?
I know, right?
I love him.
Right.
I love him like a brother.
Right.
I mean, I love him. Come
right.
on, why does this have to be sexualized?
Nobody would be freaked out if Cammie and I were sitting here holding hands
right
now.
Right.
You know, Kyle wouldn't be freaked out. We'd
yeah.
just be like, oh, I love you. And everybody's cool because we're women.
Right.
If you and I were holding hands or you and him were holding hands, everybody would be like, well, I'm not sure what that means.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's part of our culture
that
we've been weaponized.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And men have their own level of trauma in different ways than women do.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that women are more traumatized than men.
Well, thank
I
you.
I just feel like they have different layers and ways that they're traumatized.
This conversation is very enlightening. Thank you. No, I'm serious. You know, and it's like me. When do I ever get the opportunity to talk openly? I do because I seek it out with
right.
you, with my community.
Right.
You know, I've got what I need. I know where to go get it anyway.
Yeah.
But this is something that we don't talk about.
Right.
We don't talk about it together.
But right. even me as a woman, because I had to be in that masculine state, mm-hmm. crying was seen as weakness.
Yeah.
I could not be weak. I yeah. had to survive. I was in survivor
sure.
mode. So I did not get to feel my breadth of human emotion. I felt disconnected even from my own children because it's like maybe it's an internal survival thing. Like if something happens to me, I don't want to feel too connected or
mm-hmm,
you know, there's some
mm-hmm.
that disconnection, that disembodiment when you're in a state of trauma or ongoing trauma.
Right.
Or just ongoing stress.
Well,
I mean,
stress.
We don't even have to call it trauma
right.
because we can just call it ongoing stress response.
And right. survival
if you're
mode.
In an ongoing stress response and in an ongoing survival mode, the only time we humans are supposed to be in survival mode is when there is actually a tiger in the room.
Fight or flight.
That's the only time we're supposed to be.
Right.
And most humans right now in modern day society are in it 90% of the time,
right?
And that's the point that we wanted to get across.
Mm-hmm. And you can get control of that with your breath and softening the muscles in your body. If you, my trauma, when I did my certification as a trauma professional, you know, we have thousands of different therapies and stuff like that that you can do. And then, of course, there's the medical aspect of it where you can do the vagal response and all of this stuff. Literally, he said, if you can learn to keep a soft muscle body and breathe slow, long, deep breaths all the time, you will not hold trauma in your body. You are keeping yourself out of stress response. And it doesn't matter what your past is. You don't even have to do the inner child work. If you can learn how to do that, then everything in your life will right itself.
And belly breathing actually helps. And that's there is another thing with women. We're so taught to suck our bellies in because
mm-hmm.
we don't want to be fat. And so you suck your bellies in and you chest breathe, so you don't even get your full breath in. So
right.
it's like we try to do breath work with a group, and the women struggled to let their belly just go, like, because there's this expectation.
Self-conscious.
Self-conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their muscle memory.
Right.
They're like, they couldn't relax it.
Right.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, I've got to take it. We don't have much time left, and I've got to go in one thing, and that's narcissism. Seems
yes.
to be a big word these days, and I've known quite a few narcissists in my life,
yeah.
and heavy duty.
Yeah.
Ooh, heavy, 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 heavy duty narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
You want to explain that one?
Well, you know, I believe that narcissists, so there's several different pieces to this, so just hang with me. So first of all, there's the narcissistic personality disorder, right? And that's where the word came from being a narcissist. Well, the word came from the narcissist. Right. But, you know, people want to codify this as like a mental health disorder, like you're a narcissist, right? And when we talk about a narcissist in terms of a mental health disorder, that's narcissistic personality disorder. And there are really genuinely very few people who are actually that.
Right.
And that,
okay.
you know, where it's like it's a personality disorder. And that comes from a total disconnect from self. Most personality disorders do, a disconnect from authentic self and an identification with an image of self that is needed in order for them to stay stabilized. And it's based on the fact that they're super, they had some kind of trauma, they're in a lot of fear and typically a lot of shame, and they're develop a image of who they are that they're presenting out that they have to maintain at all times. And so that is that. But in terms of the narcissistic behavior that you see in normal people most of the time, that is really, all of us have the capacity for being narcissistic, because ultimately narcissism is just truly self-absorption and me thinking I'm more important than you are right now. If you boil it down to what that behavior is me winning, me being right, me being getting at the top of this pile or surviving is really what it is more important than you, instead of equalized to you, that you are equally as important as I am. So if we boil it down to that, where that comes from is because we're in fear. Because when our bodies get into fear, it is programmed to start to be self-centered. I need to get out of this burning building. Where's the exit sign? I'm going to run over other people to get myself out of here. Our body is programmed to go into that self-absorption. And when we're in fear and stress, when we're in stress response, that is means we are in a level of fear. Make no mistake. When people say, I have anxiety, boil it down. It's fear. Your body is afraid.
Yeah, sure.
And any stress response is you're in some level of fear. And we're all kind of in a level of fear. So that creates the psychological response to be more self-centered. And the more fearful we are, the more self-centered we each become, including myself. I mean, I think we can all say that. If you're really paying attention to yourself,
we're all the same
when you're
in that
scared,
respect. Yeah, yeah.
When you're scared, you're first. You know, and I think that's why we see so much. It's a defense mechanism. That's exactly right. And so when that happens, you know, you can have compassion for other people being narcissistic, because it's like, oh, you are really scared and stressed out to be acting that way. Because what we really know is that when bad things happen, people actually care about each other. And we know that from just what happened in Western North Carolina. People aren't truly narcissistic, but when they're scared
they're in fear.
All the time, right?
It's a defense mechanism.
Exactly.
Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get so close to the forest, I mean, you can't see it for the trees.
But you're like, but you're still wondering why. Like everyone I know, like, oh, I was dating a narcissist, and my mother's a narcissist, my dad's a narcissist. But then you look how disconnected we have been from nature, from who we are,
from ourselves,
for a long time, mm-hmm. for a long time.
Well, yeah.
And then you add in the cell phone selfies and how many likes you get. So you're adding in that mm-hmm. you're influencing that love of self, but it's not a real love of self, because it's that superficial love of self.
That
and there's
image,
it's a love of the image.
The love of the
right,
image
of
that
the
you
self.
Are the real
psyche
love of yourself. When you really love yourself, when I love me, I'm not going to spend my time talking bad about other people and mm-hmm. hating other people or being jealous or wanting badly for someone else or putting myself first. When I love me, I'm going to act with love, generosity, compassion, kindness, for
that's
my
right.
fellow man, because I am stable. But a lot of people don't feel safe enough. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can't tell you how many women I've looked at say, can you look at yourself in the mirror and say that you love yourself? And they cry. Mm-hmm. They can't say it.
Mm-hmm. Trauma.
It is.
And conditioning.
And conditioning.
And conditioning.
And conditioning,
yeah.
you know.
Cause you don't
but
want
that's
to be,
traumatic.
But
it
is traumatic.
It is.
Because you're told if you love yourself, then you're conceited, mm-hmm. you're stuck on yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like toxic humility. Like
It is. Well, and it's not, yes. Talk about, that is a long conversation, toxic humility.
We don't have time today. We got to take a break here. But we're going to come back and wrap this show up, and we obviously got to do this again.
Yes.
Can we do this again?
That would be great. That's
this is good. This is real. Real. It's too late to call in or give you the number, but you listen to About Your House. I've got Dr. Cammie Benton, M.D., Benton's Integrative Medicine in Bodie, psychotherapist, and we're going to give you contact info and We're going to talk more about Sacred Roots Community. So if you're interested in a spiritual community that...
It's beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All nature, just so much involved here.
I send my patients there.
Yes, great stuff. We'll be back.
And I know it's going to be a lovely day.
She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda, there's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad I'm a bad boy.
All right, welcome back to About Your House. I got Bodie in house, psychotherapist, and Dr. Benton talking about, well, we've talked a lot about mental health because it's very concerning right now amongst all of us. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to ask them both, what would be the prescription to write for, you know, balance?
Yeah. Do you want to start?
You go ahead and start.
Well, you know, as we were speaking about, you know, keeping a soft muscle body and keeping your breath under control is genuinely bottom line. If you want to get to the root of all your problems, it doesn't matter what the content of your problems are. If you want to get to the root of all of your problems and solve your mental health state, is getting control of your breath, you will be able to get in control of your life. And we know this on every scientific platform. We know this on every religious platform. This is what humanity has always known. Because when we stay calm and we can stay in these frontal lobes, we have decision-making abilities and we can touch in on that inner compass, on something that is deeper within us, whatever you call it, that is knows what to do in the moment. And so if we can, you know, for me, boiling it all down is just learning to control your breath and control the tension in your body, keeping that relaxed and keeping yourself calm. And everything from that will grow out of that. You will not have anxiety. You will not stay in states of sadness that cause depression. You will not stay in fear. You can't if you have your breath under control and the tension in your body. And that means becoming aware of the sensations in your body all the time.
Getting in touch with who you are and what you are.
That's right.
And what you're capable of.
And yeah, exactly. Our mind has everything to do with, our mind and our body are not unrelated.
And if you can reflect, and I got a doctor sitting beside me here about what I'm about to say, you can come off the psychotropic drugs. The antidepressants. A lot of this can be controlled with yourself.
Oh, you can.
And you can get off all those psychotropic drugs, at antidepressants, I can't talk, and those pharmaceutical drugs that are in actuality have more side effects that are just as detrimental as the drug itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're in control of that.
You know, so the second part of my prescription on it takes a while to train yourself to get to that point where you're that aware of your body, you can relax yourself and stay present with mm-hmm. your breathing. So in the meantime, you have the control of where you put your mind. And if you put your mind on anything that is making you feel any level of fear and you don't have to, then you are doing yourself a huge disservice. the only time you need to be paying attention to fearful things is if something fearful is happening right in front of you.
Right.
And if you choose to watch the news or to sit there and doom scroll on right. every single negative thing, you are literally creating the conditions for your body to be in fear, and you are not doing yourself a favor. You have the option to not do that.
No, we all have options.
And then the other part is build community. One of the strongest indicators for long life and for mental health is being in community. They did these studies with rats who were heroin addicted, and they had them in their little cages, and they gave them the heroin, and they were just hitting the heroin to the point where they weren't even eating food because they were just hitting heroin all the time. Then they built this beautiful rat community that had things for them to do and lots of socialization. And even though the heroin was still there and they could have hit it, they didn't, because they had community and they were properly stimulated. And when we have community, when we can create a like-minded community and feel supported, our mental health and our literal feelings of safety immediately are better.
Loneliness is a more dangerous risk factor than smoking, than heart disease, and whatever. Loneliness mm-hmm. is one of the most dangerous risk factors you can have. Mm-hmm. So that's
isolation.
And then the divorce rates at all-time high.
Right. Well,
we need to, well,
learning how to get along with the people in your community is a
You find your tribe.
That's a whole show right there.
I know that, but you get my point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, whether it's Sacred Roots, whether it's church, whether it's the school, whether it's whatever, you create your community. And so, yeah, it's mm-hmm. community.
Right.
If you feel lonely, find community.
Right.
And gratitude. Eat real food, because brain health deficiencies as well. Mm-hmm. So you pay attention to your micronutrients, to your macronutrients, meaning eat whole foods. Eat, like I said, eat from the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. You need minerals, sea salts. You grass-fed beef. And I'll tell you, a cow that was raised on a happy farm eating grass is going to be different than the meat eating grains in crowded conditions.
Sure.
Right? So it has more omegas. It's expensive. So, like Kyle and I, we take one ribeye now, and we turn that into two meals for each of us. So, like, we put it in a fourth, and like we have that little bit of meat and more vegetables. So you don't have to eat the big old steaks. Where we need to shift. There's some the foods that are created are there to create addiction. So if you're having cravings for it, then you have to wonder, just like the heroin, what is it in there? So eat real food. If there's a list of ingredients, don't eat it. Like, unless you just know it's like whole foods.
If you
like,
can't read the word, don't eat it.
Don't eat it. Sugar-free diet, like no sugar added, or often they have sucralose, which is neurotoxic. In this state, raw milk is illegal, but we can give our kids artificial dyes that cause brain dysfunction. So stop giving kids, please, teachers, for the love of God, stop giving kids like candy for rewards in schools.
And snacks.
And then, right. then you wonder why they have ADD. It's because you're giving them crap.
And wonder why they're hyper after you give them punch and their snack and their Rice Krispie
and
treats.
Teachers, stop holding kids from recess. Like, they've held my own kids. They've held my own kids from recess to finish more work. Like, you need movement. You need to see the sun.
Kids
you need to
need
touch
to
the earth.
Kids need to be outside, play, climb trees, you know, all that stuff kids are supposed to
pick
do.
Pick your nose. I don't know. Like, they need to get dirty. They need to touch the earth. Our sun is medicine.
And
the earth
go
is medicine.
Go barefooted. Ground
nature.
Yourself.
Be That's right. in nature. Be in and connect with nature as often as possible.
Kick your kids out of the house in the after school.
Your body is made of nature, and there are things that we, even science, doesn't understand about what we get from being in the sun,
amazing.
We get from touching the earth with our feet. We are meant to do that, and
or touching
our bodies are made
other.
For it.
Touching each other.
That's right. This is huge.
That's tremendous.
Our gut microbiome, if you by yourself, your gut microbiome would be different than if you just go sit on a subway with someone. Your whole microbiome will shift. Our gut microbiomes are connected as well.
Mm-hmm. We're tribal people.
We
do better with people.
Find your tribe.
And so, you know, and that's why we developed Sacred Roots Spiritual Community
Where is it?
So it's in Charlotte, right off the Oakdale exit is our venue. And we also have another venue at Bright Haven Farms where we do kind of the bigger
events.
Group events.
Yeah.
But our whole point was to create a context for people to learn how to, in their own personal development, and also to find their own prescription for spirituality in the context of community. So we're basically have all the great things about church minus the dogma and the judgment. We're very accepting. The only thing we don't accept is people treating each other bad in
right.
our community.
Right.
Other than that, you know, whatever it is that you decide you're going to believe, we will help you explore that more deeply. And as long as it's taking you toward a place of being more internally empowered in your own authentic self and more compassionate towards yourself and others, great. That's doing the job for you. And we see our vision as creating a vertical axis for people, helping them. We have 12 acres of wooded land. We help them connect with nature.
It's dead center of nature.
It is so beautiful. And we have just an incredible place that has been built for us by somebody who had a beautiful vision for helping people in Charlotte be able to connect with nature and connect with themselves.
Gotcha.
And
the house is literally built for that purpose.
Exactly. And through that, doing that in community. And
right.
so that's what we do. And it's extremely powerful. And we have over 1,600 people right now just on our Facebook group.
If you want to be no more, you can go on Facebook, Sacred Roots Spiritual Community.
Right.
And Google it. Just Google it.
Yeah.
All the info's there because I did it.
Right.
Okay. I know it works.
And it's Sacred Roots NC, like North Carolina. SacredRootsNC.com is our website.
SacredRootsNC.com.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And Benton's Integrative. Right?
BentonIntegrative.com, and we're in Huntersville. We have a direct primary care monthly membership, and we, too, are trying to empower you to take your health in your own hands, trust your own intuition for your health.
And I've been a member of that plan for now, 3 years?
Yeah.
It's very, it's great. It's just great. I could sit here and tell you more things about it, but all I can say is it's great. But for right now, I got to say goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all coming in. It was, for me, it was absolutely wonderful. It explained a lot of my life.
Now we're under our psychotherapy.
Well, no, it made a lot, and I really appreciate your insights and your wisdom, actually, both of you.
Yeah.
It's full
we're
of
a pretty good team, man.
Yeah, I think so. That's
right.
Awesome.
Thank you to all. We love you. Go spread some love. Reach out. Get it done. As we always do.
Yay.
Thank you, folks. We love you all. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week right here on About Your House.
There's nothing wrong.